Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll come. of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today.
Well, shalom, shalom, my brothers and sister. I wanted to come on tonight, knowing that my brother Larry could not be here tonight with you, and wish each and one of you a merry, merry Christmas with your family. I know that my brothers and sister, or we know that Jesus is about to come for his bride that have made herself ready. My brother and sister, this is a joyful time to spend with our family before Jesus returns for his bride. We are living in the last of the last. Father, and the Lord has said that it is over for us here, and we are so glad that we are about to be taken home by our God very, very, very soon. We also know that the three signs video God has given me that are on YouTube, they are about to come to pass right before our eyes, before we are raptured or departure and taken home into heaven. Listen to this message. And God will bless you through it. God bless each and one of you. Thank you for being so faithful to being with us on the Lord's Hour. Shalom, shalom. Thank you, God. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much, brother and sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your whole brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Come into your life. Amen. Hallelujah. We are continuing with a Bible study of Babylon the Great, my brother and sister. We want to make sure, hallelujah, we stay on this topic almost until the very moment the trumpet sound, because there's so much to study, my brother and sister. And we know that time is over. We're out of here practically any day for sure. Amen. So we're staying focused on Jesus for sure. We want to go home. We'll continue to repent daily, continue to seek the Lord daily. Jesus is about to take his bride home, my brother and sister, and that is awesome to know. That is good to know, my brother and sister. He is about to take his children home. That is exciting, my brother and sister. Amen. We've been talking about Babylon the Great, the whore of all kinds of spirit, which is Revelation 18. And after this, I saw another angel come down from heaven, hallelujah, having great power on earth, having great power, and the earth was litteth by his glory. And he cried mightily with strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, it is fallen, and is become habitations of devil, and of whole of every false spirit, in the cage of every unclean bird, my brother and sister. And so every time we go on this Bible study, we want to make sure we go into the Word. The Word of God needs to be first. Shalom, Sister Luna. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And if you have questions as we go on, my brother and sister, hallelujah, you are going to learn things you never heard before. Although they've been right in front of you, but you never heard them before. Remember, we always share things from the Lord. We never heard them before. My brother and sister, this is the awesome thing about the Lord, that he will reveal to us the mystery, the unknown mystery, my brother and sister, which is exciting. It is exciting to know them, my brother and sister. So we need to continue to trust the Lord, seek the Lord. My brother and sister, he is in control. Hallelujah. And he makes all things possible. He makes all things possible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just making sure there's no noise in the sound. Amen. Before we go on. And if there's any noise, please let me know. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. We're recording this on video for those that will be watching this on YouTube, my brother and sister. Amen. We want people to be blessed. Odyssey. Hallelujah. And B-Mail. Hallelujah. We want to make sure people are rich with the information of the Word of God, my brother and sister. Amen. As we continue reading the Word of God, I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, my brother and sister. We read about Cain and his offering, my brother and sister. Okay? The Bible says in Genesis, I'm going to skip the first seven, thank you, Lord, verses. I'm going to read from three down. So the first two. The later Cain brought some crop from the land, and I'm reading from the Word of God. As an offering to the Lord, Abel also brought some choicest part of the first animal from his flock. The Lord approved Abel in his offering, but he didn't approve Cain or his offering. He did not approve Cain or his offering. So Cain became very angry and was disappointed. Then the Lord asked Cain, "Why are you angry and why do you look disappointed? If you do well, you will be accepted. But if you don't, hallelujah, do well, sin is lying outside the door ready to attack. Sin lies outside the door ready to attack. I want to control you, but you master it. It wants to control you, but you master it." And this is for all the Christian and for all the believers. Sin is outside the door in this world, my brother and sister. And God wants us to master sin by submitting our will to his will, by submitting the will of the flesh to his spirit. This is why this is not of the flesh. Our armor, our weapon are not carnal, but spiritual. Remember that. Our weapons are not carnal. We don't fight in the flesh. We fight in the spirit, taking the weapon of the Lord, taking the armor of the spirit. You got to learn this because I still hear a lot of people getting ready to go riots. My brother and sister, doing this carnal. This is not carnal. I also hear a lot of people telling other people to rise up. Okay? You don't rise up against your government to go fight your government. That is carnal. That is not spiritual. You need to be careful with that because a lot of people, when they went to the Capitol last year, got arrested and are in jail, and all the people that told them to rise up are not sending them money for food, are not visiting them. And then a lot of pain in jail, angry at those that told them to rise up. Remember that. And you could be one of them if you listen to them that are telling you rise up. Okay? This is what destroyed the unity of the saint. This is what destroyed Christianity, bring division upon Christianity when people do these things in the flesh. This is not the first time people have done this. People have done this for thousands of years, rise in the flesh. And every time you rise in the flesh, you lose. You rise in the spirit, you have victory. My brother and sister, this is why I tell people, read your Bible and believe what you're reading. Read it by faith. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Verse 8, so Cain talked to his brother Abel. Later when they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and Abel, hallelujah, and killed him. Attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" My brother and sister, because there will come the time when we need to ask, when God can ask us, "Where is your brother? Where is your sister in Christ?" My brother and sister, Jesus, before he left, he told the disciples, pray for one another. He put this responsibility on each and one of us. We're responsible for praying for one another, my brother and sister, as part of the body of Christ. "I don't know," he answered. "Am I supposed to take care of my brother?" This is a prideful response. Okay? This is not a humility. He's not talking to a simple man. He's talking to the Lord, God Almighty. But you can see his pride. God is showing us his pride. This was a very prideful being, my brother and sister. Okay? Very prideful fallen one. And the Lord asked, "What have you done? Your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the ground, which shall receive the blood of your brother, whom you kill." And when you farm the ground, it will no longer yield a best for you, but it will be, you will be a fugitive, a wanderer on the earth, my brother and sister. So the first fugitive, my brother and sister, registered as a fugitive is Cain. But we also know that Satan is registered as a fugitive and his demon. So he's not the first, but he's one of them. My brother and sister registered in the Bible. But Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can stand. You have forced me off the land today. My brother and sister, the tribulation punishment, my brother and sister, was put on Jesus on the cross. This is why it was the agony. This is why Jesus said on the cross, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? It was very painful. It was very difficult for him to carry the pain of all humanity on the cross, my brother and sister. But because people had not received what Jesus did on the cross, now they will have to carry their own pain of the sin, their own consequence of the sin on the cross of, I'm sorry, on the great tribulation upon themselves, my brother and sister. It's a terrible punishment. It's more than what people can bear. I tell you that right now. The great tribulation punishment, the great tribulation suffering, when Jesus describes it in Matthew 24, he is not exaggerating one bit. He says that if, as it was never before, it will never be again, will be such a great tribulation. That means, my brother and sister, the punishment and pain, the suffering is beyond human understanding. You have no idea what these fallen ones that are locked up, that are going to be loose during the seven-year great tribulation, are capable of doing. And tonight, I'm going to describe some of it to you, so you can get an idea, my brother and sister, how terrible it's going to be. But I'm also going to tell you the effect of the poison of the bison, because the bison is the poison of the serpent. And I'm going to describe to you, my brother and sister, what the Lord has revealed to me about the poison of the serpent in the great tribulation. Okay? Let me start with, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to start, let me see with which vaccine I want to start, my brother and sister, because I got the AstraZeneca, my brother and sister. I got the Pfizer, okay? The Pfizer vaccine, as I saw it, my brother and sister, hallelujah, which contained the mRNA, okay, mRNA, the people who are being vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine, is my understanding of what the Lord showed me in the Great Tribulation, is that I saw a believer who are now vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine, a sister I know from church up north. And when the Lord took me to the Great Tribulation a few weeks ago, she was in the Great Tribulation. She was changing to a beast. But what I noticed was that she had not lost conscience, like King Nebuchadnezzar, my brother and sister. So I tell you, out of the four by scene, the Moderna, the Pfizer, the Johnson & Johnson, and the AstraZeneca, I can't pronounce that word, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The AstraZeneca, AstraZeneca, this is hard for me, my brother and sister, which is the four by scene, okay? That by scene, the Pfizer by scene, all by scene would change people into beasts. They will all change people into beasts. But the Pfizer, my brother and sister, okay, is the one that will change people into beasts, but they will still contain their knowledge. Now, there were several parts, but in this part, I saw people changing into werewolf, the Moderna, and they were changing into these werewolves, and they began to bite people like King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel 4. They lost all conscience with the Moderna. The Pfizer, I noticed that there were people being changed, like this sister the Lord revealed to me in the Great Tribulation the other day. She was changed into a beast, but she retained her conscience. She was speaking normally to this person, but she was an ugly beast. And people were so afraid of her, but she was speaking to them like not to be afraid. Okay? So she retained her conscience with the viper by seeing my brother and sister. And to me, that was like, hallelujah. My brother and sister, that's a word for me. Too many words that sound the same. So the Pfeiffer by seeing, my understanding is that yes, all by seeing will change them into beasts, but the Pfeiffer by seeing is the one that they'll retain the conscience. Now, Pfeiffer, again, is mostly physical. Okay? That's my understanding. It's a physical change. And when you look at physical relating to the body opposed to the mind, the meaning of it is relating to the thing perceived through the sense of that opposed to the mind, tangible or concrete. Okay? This is what the Pfeiffer is. It's a physical change, but not necessarily mental change, my brother and sister. Because the purpose of them was never to, hallelujah, do harm to the people. I went online, I look them up, I researched them. They're in New York, but the owners are out of Germany, my brother and sister. Okay, so in 2015, the Eve of Paris Agreement, Pfeiffer was one of the first company in the world to seek to gain approval in the greenhouse gases mission reduction goal. So their plan was good. They planned to do good, even on the gas emission, my brother and sister, to protect the planet. They wanted to help our people. So thereby seeing gas as how the RMINA, my brother and sister, which is the one that will change people into beasts, for sure, but their goal was positive, my brother and sister. They in me studying them and looking what they stand for, what was their goal and plan, my brother and sister, it helped me to understand so much. Now, the AstraZeneca is the one that I have problem pronouncing, AstraZeneca. The AstraZeneca vaccine, my brother and sister, my understanding, because of what the Lord showed me in regard to these people changing and beasts, like the woman, Jesus allowed me to see, her sister was praying for her, and she was flying up in the air. Oh, I also meant to unload an image of my brothers and sisters, because some of these will be shocking to you. So I saw when her sister was praying constantly for her. Her sister had never been vaccinated, but the one that got vaccinated, which I believe the AstraZeneca, my brother and sister, is the one that changed into a bird. Okay? That's more related to her being changed into a bird, my brother and sister, like flying bird. They got great appetites for meat. Okay? And they can smell blood from far. They were flying in the air in the Great Tribulation. They can smell blood from the air. They had great appetite for meat. And they were stalking humans to eat them, chasing them, stalking them from the air to eat them. They were flying birds, my brother and sister. Horrible beasts, horrible bird. Okay? These are the people, I believe, that take the AstraZeneca by seeing, my brother and sister, which is That's a big change for that, my brother and sister. If that's also the AstraZeneca, it has the mRNA, okay? It does have it. So they will change into that type of beast, but they will be flying beasts, my brother and sister, which is so incredible. Now, the one that is going to shock some of you when you hear about this by seeing, my brother and sister, the one of the last time the Lord, my brother and sister, took me to the Great Tribulation, in which I share the beast that was, we were in the attic, and the beast, we couldn't cross to the other side because the beast were already loose. They wanted to eat us, and so then I was able to jump to that 14-foot fence, and the beast were jumping almost as high as I was, trying to eat me and all that. Well, when I was there, I was allowed to see something before the Lord took me out, okay? And here comes the Johnson & Johnson. My brother and sister, the Johnson & Johnson is really a bad vaccine, okay? Because here's what I saw. I saw this person that had changed into this beast after being vaccinated with the Johnson & Johnson, and it had two head. Two head, my brother and sister. Two head. Remember, Johnson and Johnson. Two head. Two person in the same body. Two head. My brother and sister. He was coming out of the woods, ready to eat us also. He, one head can even look to one side, the other head can look to the other side. When I was thinking to draw this image of this beast that I saw, I was thinking that I was not going to be able to find an image for this beast. And you are going to be stunned that I did find an image for the beast, my brother and sister. Okay? I was stunned that I can find something so similar to what I saw, my brother and sister. Okay? Because in the olden time, these beasts, people had back in the olden time encountered these beasts long time ago, my brother and sister. And this is not new, what is happening with them. I'm trying to get an image quickly so my brother and sister can see it. I was stunned when I saw this. I was like, wow. I'm going to see if I can get them all quickly up. I want people to see each of the image. I meant to do this, my brother and sister. It is just so incredible. So incredible that people in the past encounter these beasts, my brother and sister. Okay? There's nothing new under the sun. Okay? The generation of Noah and Lot dealt with these kind of fallen demons, my brother and sister. It's so horrible. I just outlawed it. See if some of you can see it. It should be able to show up in the front of the page of the Lord Tower, my brother and sister. This is so incredible, so shocking. The two-headed monster, two-headed beast, I just outlawed there. If some of you can see it, let me know. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. That's the Johnson, JJ, Johnson and Johnson, two Johnson. Two person. That's what I saw. I was shocked when I saw this. And I was meditating on this. And the Lord helped me to understand today. And helped me to understand, my brother and sister. Thank you, sister. That this beast that I saw is similar to the two head there that I saw. When I looked at the two head of this beast, this person that changed into this beast, it had two heads, Johnson and Johnson, my brother and sister. It was so stunning, so stunning. A beast with two heads, that to me was like, wow, 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 my brother and sister. Okay? So I look up the Johnson and Johnson. Someone says to me today, but the Johnson & Johnson don't have the RMNA, my brother and sister. RNA, no, it doesn't have it, no. But what I said, it doesn't have the mRNA, and the person said, it doesn't have it. Shalom, Brother Miguel. And I said, I got to look that up. Let me see what the difference. Let's see what they say, okay? Because it has to have the mRNA in order to change. In other words, it has to have the DNA modification. If it doesn't have the DNA modification, then they're not going to change into beasts like the Moderna, the Pfizer, you know? So I looked it up, okay? And this is what I found. It has a viral vector. Viral vector vaccine is a modified version of a virus that is different from the virus being targeted. Deliver the important instruction to our cell, modify the version of the virus. It's called a viral vector. So in other words, it does the same thing, the same modification of the RMNA, my brother and sister. Okay? It does the same thing. Okay? So when you say that the mRNA is different from the Johnson & Johnson. Different from the Moderna or the Pfizer, my brother and sister, it's still the same. It's still the same. Because the viral vector, according to expert scientists, is still, it does the same effect. It modifies your DNA. So it does. My brother and sister and I were surprised. Wow. Okay. So I had to look that up. I had to go to the scientist side. I went to the CDC, and I found the information, and I was shocked, my brother and sister. Now, let me tell you about Quran. Okay? You probably had opened your Bible and heard about this man, Quran, my brother and sister. Okay? Amen. Quran. Let me tell you about this man, Quran. Quran is a descendant of Esau. Remember God said that he was against the generation of Esau and that he was going to destroy that generation, my brother and sister, the generation of Esau, okay? Because Esau married the daughters of the Naphtalian like Cain. Cain went to the east of the garden to the land of Nod, N-O-D, a fallen one, to find his wife. My brother and sister, in the conversation, go back to Genesis, that God has with Cain, my brother and sister, after God said he will be a wanderer, you read in verse 14, you have forced me off the land today. I have to hide from you and become a fugitive, wandering the earth. Now, everyone who find me will kill me. Someone brought this to the attention to the online. Why is Cain afraid that other will kill him? That means that Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, but Abel now is dead, were aware of others on the earth, like the Naphtali and the fallen angels, okay? Because they were afraid, okay? Why, if there was only his father and mother and they were not looking to kill him, why would he be afraid of someone else killing him besides the Lord? You see where the Bible gives you that, helps you understand that, yes, they were in the land, my brother and sister. So the Lord said unto him, not so. Anyone who killed Cain, and the Lord saying anyone, which means there are other, will suffer vengeance seven times over. The Lord gave Cain a sign so that anyone meeting him should not kill. And you keep reading about anyone. There were others. The Bible is clear, my brother and sister. There were others. Now, Cain left the Lord's presence and living in Nod, the land wandering east of the garden, my brother and sister. Cain said he's going to be a wanderer in the land, okay? But he never said he will be alone. He never said he will be alone. So when he goes there, my brother and sister, then he finds, verse 17, his wife. We read that Cain now find his wife, verse 17, my brother and sister. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch, my brother and sister. He went to build a city. He found his wife there, my brother and sister. Now, the fact of the evidence now that in order for you to build a city, you need to have heavy tools, my brother and sister, heavy tools, okay, in order to build a city. And the towers of Babel, the Bible tells us about these great men, these giants. They build the tower that will go up to heaven. Now, in your mind, you're looking at a single human, 5-6 feet, 6.5-7 feet. You know, they don't look too strong. They cannot carry a thousand pound stone. But you don't understand that when you have giant that can carry a 5,000 pound stone, like carrying us a 10 pound easily, my brother and sister, then you say, wait a minute. Okay, so when he goes to Bell City, he's not alone. It's not just him and his wife. There are giants there, my brother and sister. and he doesn't have problem building a city there. In other words, they're not saying, well, you're doing this alone. We're not doing it with you. We don't want to work. None of that is happening. He's building a city. They're building city, my brother and sister, with no problem there, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So unto Enoch was born Iraq. Iraq begot Matuah. Matuah begot Matuah. And Matuah begot Lamech. Lamech took two unto him wife, and the name of one was Arath, and the name of the other one was Selah. You notice this? These daughters were not even daughters of Cain. Cain's sons that came out of his wife that he found married other women's, other giants. You see where everything is going to, my brother and sister? You see how it tells you the name of the woman they married? Because you didn't hear those names before. Out of the daughter of Cain, you didn't hear. You hear that their sons are marrying these women, and they're giving us the name of this woman. Why? Why did these details is being given to us? See, the details is being given to us. What we need to have is the understanding, which we need to pray for it, my brother and sister, the wisdom from God. So when we read his Bible, we understand what is being presented to us. If you present this chapter of 4 of Genesis to a class, a great class of students, let's say 1,000 students, okay, and you tell them to begin to figure out from this chapter what was happening here and how were they able to build the city, my brother and sister, they're going to be students that are going to come out with the knowledge, and they're going to have to pray and pray and pray from the Lord that the giants was helping them, that the giant was building them. Now, when the Lord took me to the times of Noah now, chapter 6, I saw the angel, I saw the stone, about 5,000 pound stone or bigger, in which they were putting in place to build the rock. They have put in place to build the rock. Nice, my brother and sister, I'm going to tell you something. This stone was shaped and cut better than any CNC machine we have today. I worked in a CNC warehouse, my brother and sister, where we had the best machine here in the U.S. And I tell you this, when the Lord took me to this time of Noah, they have built the rock. They have built everything that these angels have built was much better than anything we have today. My brother, this is what impresses me, my brother and sister. Okay? This is what impresses me. That they had, everything they built was better than what we have today. Back in the times of Noah, when God destroyed the earth, my brother and sister. Okay? This alone tells me everything. It tells me how smart, how strong and powerful these angels were, my brother and sister. These fallen one were, my brother and sister. I saw the daughters of men back, and the Lord wanted to take me to show me because I had so much questions. I asked the Lord to please show me because this is how we are going to understand our Bible. If we open our Bible and read it, as the Lord said, we need the Lord to reveal his word to us. Help us understand. Because I have read it for years, but there's so much I have not understanding. When the Lord had begun to show me, I was blown away with the information. Like, wow, this is incredible. My brother and sister, and is ignoring his word, all in his word, my brother and sister. So, again, the Moderna vaccine is the worst. Because the Moderna vaccine is the biblical vaccine. The Moderna vaccine, my brother and sister, is the Daniel 4 by sin, my brother and sister. Okay? This is the Daniel 4. This is the one, okay, that will bring upon humanity the greater punishment, my brother and sister. Okay? The greater punishment. It will change people to beasts. But not only that, It would change also their body and their mind, their thinking. They have no, my brother and sister, they will have no knowledge, my brother and sister, no knowledge of what they're doing. Daniel said, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later. Daniel 4:28. He was walking around the royal palace in Babylon. The king threw, look how great Babylon is. I built this royal palace by my own impressive power for my glorious honor. Before the word came out of his mouth, a voice said from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar, listen to this. The kingdom has been taken from you. You will be forced away from the people to live with animal. I want you to notice something. He forces all, great and small, rich and poor, to take a mark in the right hand or in the forehead. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. It's by force. God punished King Nebuchadnezzar. There was no way out for him because he was given 12 months to repent. See, why did God give people before the Great Tribulation now so many months and years to repent? Did people take advantage of it? No. And when 2020 began, what happened? My brother and sister, by the end of 2019, the virus was released. End of 2020, the vaccine was released also. And that was it. But this is life and death. God is not playing around. My brother and sister, he's not playing around. He has spoken, and his word will not return back void. And these people have not taken him serious. These people have not been repenting and seeking him. When he told them to fast, they never did. When he told them to repent, they never did. So the virus and the virus brought the fear, and the vaccine brought the prison, the poison. This is the vaccine is the poison of the serpent, and that's what humanity is taking right now, my brother and sister. So King Nebuchadnezzar find himself now with no choice because the time of repenting, the door now is closed. I heard Sister Celestia say yesterday, one of the videos, which I'm going to play in a few on the Lord's Hour, that the door, the Lord said to her, the door is closed. I have been asking the Lord for a confirmation, haven't received one yet. But if the door is closed, these people are in trouble. That's why I tell you. Because 7 years, great tribulation is about to begin. I told you that it was over. I told you it was over. I'm not going to come here lest I hear the Lord tell me it's over and tell you it's over. I'm not trying to make point or get credit with anyone. I'm going to tell you what the Lord is saying to me. He told me it's over. I keep saying it's over. It is over. My brother and sister, this is what the Lord says to me, and this is what the Lord has shown me, has confirmed it to me twice. It is over. It is over. My brother and sister, I tell you now that if this door is closed, as I hear sister saying, I haven't heard the Lord yet say it's closed, but if the door is closed, it's one of the last things that we are to look for, my brother and sister. The Bible says in Matthew 25, Jesus said that then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins who took their lamb and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamb and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil with their vessel and with their lamb. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at the midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. I believe that we are in the midnight, my brother and sister. Shalom, Brother Benjamin. Okay? I truly believe we are in the midnight. All the virgins arose and trimmed their lamb. I want to tell you right now that all the people that are listening, and all the people that have heard the Lord say, not just to me, but through other prophets, that this is it, it is over, are trimming their lamb. my brother and sister. But there's one thing. There's one thing that separates those that have oil with those that have no oil. The foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamb are gone out. But the wise answered and say, not so, lest there be not enough for us in you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. While they went to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and they were ready. Hallelujah. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Those that have been repenting and have oil, they are already in. If the door is shut, which I saw was closing a few months ago, if that door is shut, those that are going into the rapture, into the wedding, are going out any day. But those that are not ready, that are beginning to repent, will not be able to get in it, my brother and sister, because the door is shut. This is what I clearly understand out of this, my brother and sister. When the Lord sent me down, I share this with you. We came out of the wedding. He had to make us very small. That's how close the door was. And the Lord said, go down and share with them my word and my revelation. I was telling the Lord that some people did not want to listen anymore. But he said, go ahead, because it will be on them, my brother and sister. He repeated this to me in the Great Tribulation, that everything he had me said, it will be on them if they did not receive it. So, my brother and sister, this is the last of the last. It is over. I keep telling you this. I'm not saying this because I want to say it. I'm saying this because this is what Jesus said. It is over for you, my son. Okay? He's taking us out, my brother and sister. Someone asked me, what about the three signs video, Brother Elvie? The three signs video. The Lord can have an earthquake happen quickly. And you know that when an earthquake happens, it only happens in a few seconds. And immediately after that, what do you have coming? A tsunami. Israel had all his force, all his troop ready to attack Iran. I told you that this was one of the signs that before we go home, it will begin the war in Israel. Israel had warned the UN and America and the world that they have everything ready to begin, my brother and sister, to destroy the nuclear plant in Iran. And when they do so, Iran will rise up with everything they have, but not just Iran alone. Other nations are going to join, and they're going to rise against Israel with everything they have. This is about to happen now, any day, my brother and sister. Some believe by Christmas, my brother and sister. California had an earthquake 6.2 yesterday. That's nothing compared to the one coming. That means it's getting ready for the big one. I remember we were saying this on the Lord's Hour, my brother and sister, hallelujah, that before the big earthquake comes, there will be shaking in California. The big earthquake is about to hit California. The war in Israel is about to happen. When this earthquake hit California, it will be followed by tsunami. My brother and sister, these three signs are about to happen. My brother and sister, I will not be surprised if before this month is over, we'll see one of them or maybe all three of them. I will not be surprised if they happen before the year is over. My brother and sister, there's so much that I would like to tell you, but I got to give you, hallelujah, what's important. Stay focused on Jesus. Continue to repent daily. Don't stop your fasting. Commit yourself to the Lord like you have never before. Cry out to him. As we read in Joel chapter 2, my brother and sister, let the bridegroom come out of the chamber and let them begin to cry out to the Lord. This is the time, this is the hour that we are about to see mighty events unfold before the world and before the nations. What could happen before the month is over? Well, we all over the news. You know that. But that doesn't really matter much. Because what matters is that when that shofar, that long shofar, that trumpet sound, my brother insisted, that blast of the shofar sound, that long blast, Exodus 19, my brother insisted, had a long shofar when God told Moses to sound the shofar for the children of Israel to come to the mountain, to the feet of the mountain, but not to touch it. My brother and sister, there was a loud, long sound that the children of Israel heard. My brother and sister, that shofar is totally different. I was getting ready a shofar sound. I found a few, but I wanted to get that long sound shofar. My brother and sister, I had a really good one. I downloaded two of them, but somehow they're not on my computer anymore. Everything is acting lately very strange. And it's all because we are so close to be going home, my brother and sister, that this is the way it is, my brother and sister. This is trial and test before we go home. We're in the last of the last. The enemy wishes to stay with a few more people before, my brother and sister, the shofar sound. Okay? This is the moment that people have been waiting for years. We've been waiting for years. We're there. When the Lord says it's over, he said it loud and clear to me, like an archangel. It's over. It's over, my brother and sister. So we need to continue to stay focused on the Lord. No matter what happened from here now, the only important thing is that sooner that shofar sound, we are out of here in a blink of an eye, my brother and sister. The Bible says in Matthew 24:11, afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Then he said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. That is so true. And this is what it is, my brother and sister, that we don't know. Okay? My brother and sister, the day and hour. And the day and hour, hallelujah, is very close, but we don't know if it's tonight or it's tomorrow. We don't know if it says tonight or it is tomorrow. But we know that at any moment, at any hour, this is going to happen, my brother and sister, because he promised us he would. He promised us he will take us. Hallelujah. One of the things that the Lord reminded me was that he showed me that many, the Lord was showing me this, he was showing me his bride. And he was telling me that many have not realized the day and hour they're in. They cannot see that this is it. My brother and sister, that is over. My brother and sister, and he was showing me in the spirit. And he had reminded me twice already that they have not realized the day and hour they're in. My brother and sister. And that is surprising. That to me is surprising. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. So we need to, hallelujah, stay focused on the Lord. Continue to repent. And no matter what happened, my brother and sister, he made us the promise that he will come for us. It is his promise to us, my brother and sister. He promised he will come. And that's what's important. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. So we are excited to see all this unfold. Because we know that the judgment will begin to happen quick. Now, going back to Korath. These are the sons of Esau who were born unto him in the land of Canaan. These were the son of Molifmah, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Simeon, Esau's wife, she bore to Esau Jeus, Jebalan, and Korah, three sons. Okay? Now, who were they? Chief Korah, Chief Gathan, and Chief Amalek. These chiefs came to Amalek in the land of Edom. They were the son of Araph. Again, the same wife, the same woman. They were chief. They were born to be king. Genesis 36:18. And these are the sons of Amalek, Esau's wife, Chief Jeus, Chief Jeroblam, and Chief Korah. They were the chief who came to Amalek and the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. Exodus 6:21 now. And the son of Ashbar, Korah, Nepheh, and Zerah. And the sons of Korah, Asir, and then it gives you a list of who they were. Okay, why is this? I'm going to show you why is this and why this is important. Number 16:5. And he spoke unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow, this is Moses speaking to them, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy. It will cause him to come near unto him, even him who has chosen, he will cause to come near unto him. In other words, Moses is saying, whoever is of the Lord will make sure that he, my brother and sister, will come near him. Okay? The Lord, hallelujah, like a sign, a promise, something that the Lord will fulfill, making sure, my brother and sister, that his will know him. My sheep will know me, Jesus said. Okay? And so, I'm going back to verse 1. And Korah, the son of Ishar, the son of Konah, the son of Levi, Datan, Amibaran, the son of Eliath, and it gives you the name. Verse 2. And the rose up before Moses with certain children of Israel, with 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, to whom in the Bible was given these titles, men of renown, but to the Naphtalian. Let me put the verses in the chat room. The Naphtalian, my brother and sister, children, okay? Korah, the son of Esau, and his wife, Kenah, had these children who became giants, my brother and sister. What did these giants do against Moses? I want you to see the problem that they were causing against Moses and the children of Israel. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. I'm reading in Numbers 16:3. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, very one of them, the Lord is among them. Why do you lift up yourself among the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face and spoke unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show you who are his, who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. Even him whom he had chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Take censer, Korah, and all his company. Put fire therein and put incense, and then before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord that choose shall be holy to take too much upon you, ye son of Levi. Moses said unto Korah, I pray you, you son of Levi, seem but a small thing unto you that God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near himself to do the service of the tabernacle, the Lord to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. He brought them near to all the brothers of Levi with them, my brother and sister. Keep reading. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and he took all the company. Verse 8, Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye son of Levi. 16, Moses said unto Korah, be thou all the company before the Lord and Aaron. 19, Korah gathered all the congregation, then unto the door of the tabernacle in the congregation, and the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Verse 24, speak unto all the congregation, say, get out you from out the tabernacle, Korah, Datan, and Amimarah, God says. Okay, verse 27, then go out from the tabernacle, Korah, Datan, and Amimarah, in every side of Dadan, Abimaran, come out and stood in at the door of their tent, and their wife, and their sons, and their little ones. Look at the order of God through Moses, my brother and sister. And this is important because this is going to help us understand what's happening in the last days, my brother and sister. Verse 32, number 16:32. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their house and all the men who pertain unto Korah and all their goods. This is how God deal with the sons of the Nephthalim. He had hell open her mouth and swallowed them with all their wife, with all their children, and all their good, because they are evil, my brother and sister. Look how far they got. God was in the tabernacle. God was among his people. The priests, holy priests of God were there, Moses and Aaron and them. And these fallen ones who pretend to tell the people, like I saw them in the Great Tribulation, telling them that they were gods, my brother and sister, there to rise against Moses, against Aaron, against the children of Israel, against the priests, holy priests of God. God can only take so much, my brother and sister. He's going to allow them to be loosened again. But God knows how evil and destructive they are, that just as they rise against Moses and his people, this humanity who had turned their back against God, they're going to rise against them again to destroy them, my brother and sister. That's all they want. They don't want you to serve God. They don't want you to come closer to God. They want to harm you. This is why they're giving the blood for these bite sin, for the five of Molen and all of them. Their own blood is in those bite sin. Their own technology, nanotechnology is in those bite sin. And look how slave humanity have become by the billions in these last days. God, because these people are still not repenting, it's going to allow them to be loosened again. He bound them even in the times of Moses. He opened the earth to swallow them. Hell swallowed them, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And they, hallelujah, want to come back again, my brother and sister. And the Bible says in verse 40, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger who is not of the seed is what we're talking about, my brother and sister. It is the seed that is being contaminated in the last day. This is why this by seed is being injected into the sea of humanity, the DNA, my brother and sister. So, hallelujah, these people return to beasts. My brother and sister, they're being contaminated from the inside. God ended their seed. God locked up their seed. He bound them, hallelujah, in places that he wanted men not to go to. But now through this portal or particle accelerator, which we call CERN also, they're talking with them, a government. Our governors, my brother and sister, hallelujah, our mayors, our presidents, they're all they have great friendship with these fallen ones. And they're talking to them every day. They don't make no decision unless they ask them. You see how fallen this humanity has become before God, my brother and sister. Same thing that happens in the times of Noah, in the times of Lot, in the wilderness with the children of Israel. This is number 16. Read it when you have some time, and see them in action. Generation after generation, they contaminated. They also contaminated the generations of Jeremiah, my brother and sister. That's why they were taken captive to Babylon, my brother and sister. Horrible thing they have done. They have contaminated God's people, my brother and sister. So the Bible said this is to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no stranger who is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, because it has to be seed, pure seed of God in the times of Noah. Only Noah was pure. In the times of Lot, only Lot was pure, my brother and sister, because the rest of humanity's seed was contaminated. And now God has preserved unto himself a seed, his bride. It's about to go home, but these fallen ones are seeking to devour the bride, contaminate the bride. God said this to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger who is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah in his company, as the Lord has said to him by the hand of Moses. Moses, when he heard about this, the Bible said, hallelujah, he threw himself. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Moses heard it, and he fell upon his face. My God, what is this? If Moses sees these days from heaven, imagine what he'll say. Not again. Not again, God. How can this evil one contaminate again? Same thing that happened in his days that he saw, but God put an end to it. It's happening again, my brother and sister. Same demon, same fallen one, my brother and sister. There's nothing new under the sun, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Number 1649, now those who die in the plague were 14,700. Besides those who die in the matters of Korah, my brother and sister, evil leaves the evil. That's what that is. Evil, hallelujah, lead to evil. And so we have to be careful with evil and the contamination, my brother and sister, because there's so much on this earth. So much is happening. So many people are being contaminated, are being convinced to be vaccinated. God never taught, God never said for you to trust, to put your trust in man. Cursed is the man who trusts in another man. People are trusting in the government to be vaccinated are coming under a curse. My brother and sister, the vaccine is the poison of the serpent. Again, let me tell you the effect of the vaccine, the different effect of the poison. Are the vaccine that I see in the Great Tribulation. The all three vaccine, Moderna, Pfizer, and AstraZeneca, has the mRNA in it. That's the DNA modification. The Johnson & Johnson has the vector that when I look it up, it also means the modification of the DNA. It's just another way how they do it, but it still leads to the same evil. So once people take the Pfizer, the Pfizer vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine is not so wicked as the Johnson & Johnson. People that take the Johnson & Johnson will change in total beast in the Great Tribulation, Shalom Sister Renee, and they will lose their mind. They'll lose their mind. They'll be like beasts. They'll devour whoever they encounter. The people that take the Pfizer, as I saw, as the Lord revealed to me, they are changing to beasts, but they don't lose their mind. Now, the Pfizer, which is physical, Pfizer's physical change, Moderna is entire change. Okay, AstraZeneca, they change into bird, my brother and sister. That's the one that the AstraZeneca. I have not studied that by seeing. I only have studied the Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, my brother and sister, and the Moderna. And when I heard the AstraZeneca, when I looked it up, I studied, I was researching it today, I got a better understanding and how many people also being vaccinated, not so much as the Johnson & Johnson and the Pfizer, but the Johnson & Johnson was that got the first FDA approved back in 2020, my brother and sister. So it was basically the first, and a week after was the Pfizer, and then later on was the Johnson & Johnson. Okay, the beast that comes out of the Johnson & Johnson has two-headed beast. Okay, as you see in the page of the Lord Tower there, in the image. Okay, two-headed beast is what I saw, And I knew when I was there in the Great Tribulation that this person that would change into a beast has taken the Johnson & Johnson. The Lord gave me, given me the understanding, clear understanding, that they had taken the Johnson & Johnson. And I was surprised, my brother and sister. So the AstraZeneca is a flying bird. Okay, those that are taking that flying bird, they're changing into the flying bird. Now, what I wanted to say is, okay, because the AstraZeneca and the Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson have their mRNA. So it has that ingredient that will change them into beasts, okay? Mostly what I saw, that the Moderna changed them into werewolf, beast without brain, evil, like King Nebuchadnezzar. I believe the greater punishment, and it was actually the first vaccine that got FDA approved, okay, the Johnson & Johnson. And it was the first vaccine that was released, okay? So what I'm saying is, it is the more evil poisoning of the four. The Moderna is the more wicked one because it changes people and they lose their mind. And my brother and sister, now, I saw zombie that had no brain. So what I'm saying is tonight that if let's say some people stay behind and they see people changing into werewolf out of the Moderna, but they also see them changing into zombie. Okay, then they'll say, oh, brother, we only say werewolf. No, also zombie. Okay, other beasts, my brother and sister. So whatever beasts come out of the Moderna, I don't know how much more, because I did saw werewolf, eating flesh, killing beast, and zombie walking all day long, going skinny until their bones. Some was just bone walking, bones, no flesh. Their flesh were hanging dry on their bones. How is that? I don't know, my brother and sister. But the Bible said that they cannot die. They will flee from them. Okay, and some of the people that have been taken there also can confirm that. Okay, I believe that comes out of the Moderna. The Pfizer is where they are changing to beasts, but they retain their knowledge. It's what I saw that sister. Okay, she retained her knowledge. People were very afraid of her. No one wanted to come close to her, those that were now vaccinated, because they were trying to hide in her building where she lives, and they wanted to come in there and hide, but she knew she was there in that first floor of that building. And she was saying to them from the darkness of that building, don't be afraid. Like, why are you running? Why are you scared? And they can hear her voice. She was a horrible beast, like ugly things you ever saw, a demon maybe 8-9 feet tall, full of hair, full of ugliness, okay? But speaking to you like a normal person, telling the people, why don't you want to speak to me? You know, why are you running? You know? And they're aware that they're causing this pain, this scare to the person, fear. They're causing the fear to the person. And they know they're ugly. They're changed so ugly. But at the same time, it's like they want to have friends. Okay? And my brother and sister, I believe they can help some of the people, because in one occasion when these world war changed, they were going after people to devour them, and there was some of them like trying to stop them. They changed also. Some of them that had taken the Pfizer were trying to stop them as a beast. Like, why do you want to kill these people? So that's another thing for those staying behind. It might be that they may be some of them be friends with some of the Pfizer vaccinated beasts. And those beasts may protect them. I don't know. But here what came to my mind, beauty and the beast. Beauty and the beast. Remember the movie Beauty and the Beast, where the beast fell in love with this young girl, and then he is so sweet with her, and they're dancing, and they're getting along. Remember that? Everything that's going to happen in the Great Tribulation has actually been in movie. With movie, you got the Howling movie. These werewolves that devour and kill people, they lose their brain. That's the Moderna. Then Beauty and the Beast is the Pfeiffer. My brother and sister, imagine this beast, ugly thing that no one in the community welcomes. The people rise up in the community to burn his house, destroy his castle, and all that. I actually look at the trailer today because I have not seen the movie, okay, that they have released of Beauty and the Beast, but I seen the trailer. So I look at the trailer earlier because it's like, and he is so in love with her, and she somehow get him to be dancing with her and all that. He's not killing her. He's not attacking her, but he's in love with her. And it's kind of when I saw this, when I heard this sister talking to the people who were running away from her, this beast who was her sister, I can hear her sweet voice talking to them and all that. But nobody wanted to even come close to this beast. They were running away, hiding from her, okay, in the Great Tribulation because she was ugly. And, you know, they were thinking if she's probably just trying to sweet us or be sweet with us to eat us. You know, they couldn't tell what were her this beast's intention because you see a 9 feet beast, ugly beast with long nail that can kill you, with long teeth that can devour you, talking to you sweet like Beauty and the Beast. That's exactly what came to my mind. My brother and sister, I'm like, man, these things ain't on television for so many years. People have seen them, and nobody got the idea that this what would happen in the Great Tribulation. And why is it that the Pfeiffer specifically causes that? And I researched the Pfeiffer, the owner, the founder from Germany and all that, their intention, their plan. You know, yes, they use the mRNA. It's in the vaccine that would change people to beasts. But their intention was good. So somehow the brain is not changed like the body. It's mostly physical. It's what I understand out of it because I saw in the Great Tribulation, my brother and sister, what that means. Or is it one case? You see? I'm telling you what I saw, what I heard, what I experienced there, what the Lord showed me, what he wanted me to see and show me. And looking back, Beauty and the Beast is what's related to that I know. My brother and sister. Okay? Thank you, Lord. So, it's, you know, and I'm not going to recommend nobody sing. Don't misunderstand. Oh, brother, I was recommending the Pfeiffer. No. Please, if you have questions now, before my brother and sister, I play the sister here, please ask me any question, okay? Because Sister Celestia, before I play the teaching of Sister Celestia, she put two new teaching yesterday, and you're going to hear her talking what the Lord revealed to her about this fallen one, Naphtalian, that the information can help people so much, so much, okay? But what I saw in the Great Tribulation about this beast, this woman that took the fight of Isaiah, she retained her intelligence, her brain. She was an ugly beast talking to the neighbor who were hiding and running for her as fast as they can. Okay? And she was telling him that why they were running from her. Why can they not talk? Why can you not talk to me? She was saying. You know, why won't you talk to me? Why are you hiding? I know that you're hiding. She was fully aware where they were. She could have break through the wall, through the door, and ripped them in pieces. But she was not doing that. And to me, the Lord wanted me to know that. Why did the Lord want me to know that? And experiences about this woman that we know took the fight for my sin. Okay? It's the information that is important here. That this would happen to these people. My brother and sister, the Johnson & Johnson, I mean the Moderna is the worst. Now, the beast that I saw that had taken the Johnson & Johnson were two-headed beasts. People turned into two-headed beasts. How many millions or billion have taken the Johnson & Johnson? Okay? You can see the image there in the page of the Lord Tower. Okay? Two-headed beasts. They have kind of round face. I looked at one face. It has a kind of long neck, too. I looked at the face. I looked at the other face. There were two attached to the same body. And it was a horrible beast. I'll tell you that right now. It was a horrible beast, wicked, evil. It was coming out of the woods. When I jumped up the wall, I saw the beast coming. It was about 30 feet away from me. And when it was coming out of the dark, could not see the beast well until it came into the light. And when the beast came into the light, that's when I saw the beast well enough. I said, wow. Okay. And it was coming like the other dog that had changed into beast, that had changed horrible, looking for meat to eat. This is strange, but most of these beasts are coming out in the Great Tribulation with great hunger for meat and great thirst for blood. My brother and sister, one explanation could be because their blood is mixed, it's damaged, has been changed, and they're looking like to replace their own blood. You know, my brother and sister, like a type of Dracula, his blood is all contaminated, and eating other people's blood is what keep him sane or alive. So kind of these beasts acted in the same way. How many of us growing up watched movie of Dracula, my brother and sister? So that's the question there. Why do they have a great thirst for blood and great hunger for meat, my brother and sister? So the Johnson & Johnson beast, this person looked like it was walking on his hand because it looked to me like a horse, my brother and sister. But it was not a horse because I can see the hand, the two hand, the finger part long and the nail back on the 2 feet and in the hand. And it was walking on four-legged, like a four-legged animal. And that's what in the two long neck this person had changed to, my brother and sister. So that Johnson & Johnson has that vector that I read to you that it doesn't have the mRNA, the Johnson & Johnson. You can look it up yourself. It has the vector. But when I look up what is the difference between the vector and the mRNA, my brother and sister, I wanted to know what is the difference. And what I found was that the mRNA and the vector, they change the DNA. They do the same thing, okay? But the ingredient is different. The ingredient is different. So each of these, by seeing, besides having the mRNA, they have these other ingredients or different process, different ingredients. So that's what I went to their site, and I was reading what they say. And then look up in scientist side and how they were explaining it and describe it. And they were describing the difference between the two. And the vector that is in the Johnson & Johnson is just a different ingredient that they use to modify the DNA. But it still does the same thing. So when they change into that two-headed monster. That means they divide the DNA inside the body. So the mRNA replaces the DNA in certain part of the body, but the vector divides the DNA. So in other words, it says to the DNA, the part that is replacing, it moves to the side, that part of the DNA, and replaces it with something else, which I believe that is the blood of the fallen one. And then the two are together. So when the person changed, since the two cells are there, it becomes, because that happens too when twins are born. So it's the same practical thing. When two twins are born, both of the baby cells are there, which you have to go in more medical practical explanation, but you can look it up yourself also. And then you get two babies, two identical. And so, and that's happened from the DNA up. And so this change that they do with the Becton, the Johnson & Johnson, is actually JJ, two-person. It divides the DNA, attaches the other part they wanted to attach to the DNA, and then when it changes into a beast, it becomes a two-headed monster because it's truly like two-person in there. My brother and sister, I did notice that one of the person was more active, one of the head was more active than another, and it was a little bigger, like the image there, than the other head. It was just a little bit bigger, a little bit more active. My brother, Theradactyls, okay? And so one being a little bigger and being more active, other the two head coming out of the same body, which causes a Johnson & Johnson, that led me to really meditate on it and look it up and study and research it. And you know, wow. Wow, wow, wow. There's so much, my brother and sister. And then AstraZeneca is the college university. So the 2J from equal the Johnson & Johnson, the two beasts are equal, two-headed beast. My brother insisted. And learning from Korath, okay, Farsen, okay, which means poison. Thank you, sister. In German, Pfeiffer, Sister Consuelo said it means poison. Okay, the poisons of the serpent. Poison, which comes from the serpent, poison of the serpent. So it makes even more sense when you look it up that way, my brother and sister. Amen. And so there were tribes and seed that came out of Korah. The one somehow when in Exodus or number 16, my brother and sister, that could be too, half horse and half man. But see, the two hair look identical because all they're doing is they're biting the DNA of the person. So when they change into a beast, boom, it's – and really what changes, I believe, my understanding, what changes the person into a beast is the modification of the DNA that is in the bicene. And they all cause the same thing, my brother and sister. They all cause the same thing. So – the Kerahai, later on in First Chronicle, Korah, and then Korah in Jude 1:11, woe unto them, for they had gone in the way of Cain. This is what I wanted to show you. And have run greedily after the arrow of Balaam for their reward and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. You know that Korah has his own teaching? My brother and sister, Korah has his own doctrine in which they wanted to teach the children of Israel, and God destroyed them. My brother and sister, okay? That is just so incredible. So, so incredible. So, Pterodactyl are the flying dinosaur, okay? So, Korah has his own teaching. And he thought that he can teach the children of Israel his own teaching, but no way possible that God was going to allow that, my brother and sister, because this fallen one cannot teach us anything. And this is what humanity needs to understand, that many have failed to understand, my brother and sister, truly failed to understand that you cannot trust this being to teach you anything, my brother and sister. In praise the Lord. In the King James, I'm looking at Jude 1:11, the King James. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because I wanted to look at it with different Bible translation just to show you that what they were doing was trying to bring a different doctrine to the children of Israel, my brother and sister. It was a teaching that they wanted to bring to them. And this is why we need to be careful because they were following in the same teaching. Prophet had run headlong unto the arrow of Balaam, perished the rebellion of Korah. Okay, and yes, it was a rebellion, and it still is a rebellion. What they are trying to bring upon humanity before God to rebel against the Almighty, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. So we need to be very careful with the teaching of it's okay to be vaccinated, okay, because it comes from them. It's okay for your DNA to be changed. No, it's not, okay, because their teaching comes from them. Now, I want you to listen to Sister Celestia. She put out two great teaching yesterday, and she talks about them. My brother and sister, listen to her.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. Please adjust your settings above and below. And today I am going to be continuing with the Nephilim series, the Fallen series, the Alien series that I will simply give the title, the Supernatural, the Fallen playlist when I am done making enough of these videos. And the prophecy for today is called What I Saw Today. Now, this message is a full 2 years old. I received it on January the 26th, 2020. So that's basically 2 years ago. And it details some very startling things that the Lord showed me in visions while I was awake. I had just come home from church, and I was just pouring out to the Lord out of the effusiveness of my heart how happy I am to be his child, how much I love him, and the Lord began to show me things that certainly did not match up with the things that I was saying. And so the Lord told me before I started this video, and I'm going to deliver this word, the Lord said that the reason that the Nephilim will come back is because of the increase of sin and wickedness upon the earth. And so he said the Nephilim will come back because of how fallen and evil humanity is. Humanity is so far departed from the ways of God and the laws of God that he said the Nephilim shall be the punishment to a fallen and sinful people. He said because people do not believe in the word of God and because people are so sinful, these creatures will return to the earth as a punishment, as a last day's punishment to sinful and depraved people. So if you have ever wondered why on earth a loving God, as God is always described by people who do not know his true nature, which is that he is love, but also justice, fairness, and many other things, not just love by itself. If people have ever wondered why a loving God would allow these creatures to come back and destroy the earth, ravage the earth, as they certainly will, it is because of the increase of sin, abomination, and wickedness. Basically, this earth has been spoiled. And even though these things kind of stretch the edges of the fabric of faith, the truth of the matter is that we already know from the book of, I think, 2 Peter, that it says that this entire earth has been reserved for destruction by fire. Now, we know that fire is a whole lot more painful than water. And so why would Christians in the modern era who are supposed to know their Bible and know that the Bible says that the entire earth is reserved to be destroyed by fire, meaning that this earth will be burnt up like a sheet in a fireplace. Why should it be surprising to us to know that the reason that God would choose such a violent end for this earth is because it would have become so dilapidated, so craven, so fallen, so totally given over to the expression of every conceivable form of wickedness that you can think of, that by the time the Lord Jesus comes, he even has to ask in the scripture, will I even find faith upon the earth? These are things for us to really ponder and ask ourselves as we study the scripture and as we read the verses. Do we really take the time to ask the Holy Spirit to open up the verses to us so that we can have a true and an expressive understanding of what is being said to us? Are we just reading on the surface, or are we reading with a deeper understanding of what God wants us to know? part of understanding what role the Nephilim play and what role the fallen angels and even things like aliens will play is that these things have been left here on earth by the Lord for this final generation, the most fallen of the generations. I was thinking in my heart today of the many, many prophetic words that the Lord has sent me to bring against the United States. Words saying that America will not repent. She will never repent in her heart because she is Mystery Babylon. She is the nation of which it is said that her cup of abominations will fill the earth and make all the other nations stagger with drunkenness. For when they drink from that cup, they all become defiled and they all begin to practice the things that God hates. As I was thinking about it, I began to have a deeper understanding of why such punishments will be fitting punishments for the crime. God has said that America is more fallen than any other civilization that has come before. And I have to tell you, if you think about it, and you think about what people used to do in the ancient days, such as impaling their enemies on spikes and having their heads on poles and things like that, and the Lord says that this modern nation, this modern expression of civilization that goes by the name the United States of America is more evil, more wicked, more selfish, and more fallen than any other civilization that comes before. Is it small wonder that the Lord will not intervene when these expressions of satanic life arise and come back to afflict this nation and to be a judgment upon this nation, even as they will be a judgment upon the whole earth? And so I go into the things that the Lord revealed to me. And he was telling me that the Nephilim are not just the offspring, not just the offspring of the fallen angels with women. So I've already covered that in previous two videos. If you're just finding this video, if you're just finding this channel, welcome to the Master's Voice. I'm Celestial, and it would help if you go back and watch just a few videos back, not the UFO series, but I think two or three videos back when I started to speak about the rise of the gods. So they are basically called the gods, and they're not limited to only land gods. They're sky gods, water gods, human-angel hybrids, genetically modified bird-animal hybrids, genetically modified human mixed with something else hybrids that come with sometimes a human expression, or they come sometimes with a mixed body, an animal, and a person, and they come with powerful capabilities. It also includes what is called the mighty men and the men of renown. Renown means men of great fame. So in those days, the hybrids, the children who were the offspring of the fallen angels with women, were known for extraordinary feats. They were known for great feats of strength. They were known for great feats of agility. They were known actually for expressions of sorcery and magic. And all of this is why people who are just normal human beings, the descendants, the seed of Adam and Eve, we do not possess these qualities. And so when we saw these things being displayed in front of us, men of extreme stature, 15, 16, 13, 12, 22, 39 feet, these people automatically, by looking at them, commanded worship. They struck fear into the hearts of humanity, and humanity eventually devolved to the point of being their slaves. I explain these things in the future videos. And so I am going to share here the different images that I saw on January the 26th, 2020, when the Lord was speaking of the Nephilim to me. I saw a very handsome, muscled, and blonde man, and he was wrapped in a toga. So he had the Grecian toga or the Roman toga wrapped around him, and I saw him wrestling a lion. And he wrestled the lion, and he held the lion by the mouth, the upper jaw, and the lower jaw, and in a great burst of strength, he tore the lion in two pieces. And this is the man, Hercules, who was half god and half man, in the stories of old, in the mythical legends of old, which are actually historical accounts. It would help you if you go to the library and just take out one of these books or go to the reference sections, because most libraries don't like to let books like that out anymore. They know the reason why. Hercules killed the Nemean lion like that, and he skinned the lion, and he actually used to go about on his mighty adventures and great exploits wearing the skin of the Nemean lion. I've also seen a vision of Egyptian gods. So how this vision appeared to me is there was a mummy casket. So let's say I am here and pointing off into the distance somewhere far. In the far distance at the end of my vision was the casket of a mummy standing upright. And then coming out of that casket, person by person by person by person, like this, in line, was a total long line of gods. They were coming out of this Egyptian mummy's casket. And at the head of the gods, the first Nephilim that was standing very close to me, made me extremely uncomfortable, was this dog god known as Anubis. So he had dark bluish black skin, and he was wearing very beautiful gold armor, and he had the head of a dog. Not these fluffy dogs. It looked more like a greyhound. Anubis's head is pretty much the head of a greyhound or one of those dogs that doesn't have a lot of fur. He is the god of death, and I did not like the look that this dead but alive god was giving me. He is one of the head gods of the Egyptian pantheon of gods. He had a gold javelin, and he was standing first with many other gods behind him. So then they would have a human body and a crocodile head, or a human body and an eagle's head. And this was the lineup of gods until finally the last one was standing in the caskets. And I wrote right kind of body for most of them, wrong type of head. The next vision that the Lord showed me was very tall men who looked like Scots or people from the Gaelic region. So they looked like people who we would call Celtic. They were red-haired men, and they were very robust. And when the Lord showed me the image, they were in the middle of battle. So they were fighting human beings, and there were much smaller men fighting them, and very few of these large men who had, it wasn't really a shirt, I don't know what they call the old day clothing, but you would have a little belt on top of it, a little leather belt, and then you would have the thing like a skirt. And these men were so strong. There were just a few of them, but they were deeply involved in battle with the human beings, and they were many heads and shoulders taller than the people, and they were using their weapons. And when they would hit a person, they would split a person exactly the way you would split a melon or a cantaloupe. Can you imagine the kind of power, speed, and force that is needed to cut a human being, one of us, the way you would cut a piece of chicken, the way you would cut the thigh of a chicken or a turkey off the main animal, is how they split people in half from the force of one blow. It was just a few of them battling a lot of human soldiers. But as I was watching, I saw that the battle was not difficult for those giant men, and that they instead had the upper hand over the humans. And so the Lord said to me, they are on their way back. The Nephilim are on their way back. And immediately, I did not see an extraterrestrial ship or anything like that. I began to see scenes of this earth. So I began to see locations in the earth by the Spirit of the Lord shown in front of me in an open daylight vision. And this is what I saw. Here's what the Holy Spirit said. They are coming back to earth. From every place they, the fallen angels, were put in chains. They will rise up, and they will be given freedom for a limited time, as the scriptures say, in order to wreak their havoc until the time of the end. They will be given unlimited freedom for vengeance against the ungodly. So here you see the Lord saying that the very reason that these things were not killed, but the reason they were reserved in chains, is because at the last days they would be unleashed as punishment against sinners and the wicked in the earth. As man's punishment for sinfulness, he will be left here with these beings to contend with them as his ancestors also once fought them. The ancients were very wise in their understanding of today's so-called mythical creatures. Actually, in fact, the Lord said, when someone has actually seen or fought a dragon or has been spellbound by a fairy, that person will never call it a myth. He said to those who lived through it, the ancients, these beings were a constant, frustrating, and a dangerous reality. But this generation has no awareness. This generation has no humility to search the books of history and has no common sense. Therefore, all things written down for their instruction are ignored. They are overlooked or they are taught to the masses as fantasy. These creatures are no more a fantasy than the sun, the moon, and the stars. As long as the earth remains, its inhabitants will contend, which means to fight with. The people of earth will fight with interlopers who have been trapped down here with them by the judgment of God. But this generation does not believe. These are their locations. They sleep in the ice. The giants sleep in ice with their swords ready, but as the weather changes, they will be free again. So when the Lord said that the giants are sleeping in the ice, I began to see massive, I'm talking about huge and hairy men with big beards in old style clothing, maybe like the Vikings or just maybe like the lords of old. And they had long blonde and ginger hair, and they were sleeping on what we call funeral beers. So a funeral beer is what you see in the Viking movies when the king dies unexpectedly. They make this raised platform and they put his body on it with his shield and his javelin and everything that a great warrior is supposed to go into the afterlife with. And then they set it on fire. Sometimes they will even put the beer in a very huge Viking ship, put the beer on the ship and then push the ship out, and then the king goes out to burn by himself until the boat catches fire and the whole thing burns and then the ashes fall into the water. I saw these funeral beers, but they were made of ice. So I was seeing into some kind of underground chamber, and these beers had been literally chiseled out of the ice, and these men were laying on these beers. And I have to tell you, these men were not dead. These men did not have gray skin. They did not have decayed skin. These men were, and I will use the word of the Lord, they were cryogenically preserved. Cryogenically preserved. So I had to look that up, and it means to preserve something by a technique of sudden, fast freezing. So here we are, it's 2021, and I don't know if they have this in your state or in your country, but here in New York City, these clinics have popped up, and they're called cryo clinics. And what you do is you go there, and they have some kind of machine that they claim they invented, but we'll get into that. They have some kind of machine that will suddenly freeze and zap areas of your body, they say, that contain fat. And then in that way, when fat is suddenly frozen, something is going to happen to it, and then it will be more willing to leave your body. So this is a process of using extreme and sudden exposure to very, very, very low temperatures. I'm talking about a lot below minus zero. And then all of a sudden, it flash freezes flesh. And this is what had been done to these men. God brought the picture very close, and I saw these men lying in state. When you are dead and you are lying in such a way that your body can be observed by others, it is called lying in state. I saw these men lying in state, and each one of them was holding a sword. So their arms were crossed, and the sword was in their hands, and the sword was pointing downward over their body, and they looked like they were sleeping. Now, if you're a person who grew up reading fairy tales, definitely like myself, you will notice that there are many tales in the so-called myths of a spell coming upon a person or something happening to a person, and they suddenly fall into the fabled deep sleep. So Snow White fell into the deep sleep, and a lot of other people fell into this deep sleep, and now you have to be woken up from this deep sleep. These men are not dead. Even though they're not men, these giants, these Nephilim, are not dead. They are cryogenically preserved, and you can see that because the blood was still fresh underneath their skin. These men look like they simply fell asleep and their bodily functions have been slowed down to the point where they're not being affected by time, but they are not dead. The Lord zoomed the picture out, and then all of a sudden I saw these icy regions like the Arctic and the Antarctic, and in the ice, like brown grains of rice, I could see the bodies of these men preserved laying next to each other. So these people were buried by their kinfolk with the expectation that they will rise again at a certain time. I spoke of this in the previous video when I was talking about the process of mummification. Many scholars of Egyptology always say, it is amazing how the Egyptians had so many gods, but they seem to have almost the same faith of Christians in at least one area. Ancient pharaohs absolutely believed that they would rise again. It was a very strong and consistent thread throughout whatever they were practicing and calling religion. They all believed that the high, the mighty, the pharaohs, and the elite would come back to life. And I spoke of that. And the reason for that is because the fallen were among these people at that time. And some of these things were actually half and half fallen. This is why Egyptians were so careful in how they preserve bodies, because when you preserve a body in such a way, it will not all turn to dust as God has commanded, that we should go back to the soil from which we came. Egyptians preserved the body in such a way that over the centuries up to now, the Egyptian mummies that are held by the museums still have little bits of flesh, semi-dried tissue, and bone that can be used for reverse engineering technology today. So they had this belief in their heart because they knew from back then that the day was coming when the technology would once again be available to bring them back to life. Please hear what I am saying. And so when I saw these men in the ice, the Lord said, these are the ice giants. And then the Lord said to me, they are buried in the tundra, and the picture changed. So tundra is a completely different area of geography. It's not the areas of the ice. It's where the landscape is sometimes light to medium desert and also sometimes light to medium green. So it's not the Amazon rainforest or anything that is just huge forest and stuff like that. It's these areas that have that you usually see in the nature documentaries with, you know, waving grasses and plains and stuff like that. Some parts of what I saw were desert, and some parts of what I saw were leafy and green. So as I'm looking, the Lord said, these men and women of greatness slept in death, but their fathers are immortal and do not die. They are buried in everlasting chains until the day of judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet they will be loosed for a time, and they will wreak havoc on this earth, devouring men. They will perform mighty exploits of strength exactly as they did in the days of old. And the view was sweeping over parts of the earth that have cold to moderate climates. They were sweeping over plains and grassy areas. And I also saw areas of low forest, secondary forest, and desert. The next thing the Lord said is, their fathers are reserved for fire. And immediately he said that is when I saw this vision that I shared in a previous video. I saw a mighty volcano explode and the lava came out into the air. But underneath the volcano were some chambers where the magma had not filled the complete thing. And it was extremely hot. And I said that I saw a huge figure completely ripped with muscles all over, chained on the arms, but now I see that it was chained here on the legs as well. It was shaped like a man, but even though I could not see the face, I know that I've never seen muscles like that on any human being before. The size of this being alone ruled out humanity. This being was struggling under the volcano, and its problem was not because the volcano was hot. It was filled with rage because it had been chained. And so this creature was roaring and thrashing the chains, bashing them on the rocks and trying to get free. So when I'm talking about the Nephilim, I'm talking about a very wide spectrum of creatures that the Lord has spoken about and revealed to me, and that you can also find if you only do a little light research and reading of your own. Any life form that you do not see specifically listed in the Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 breakdown of what God made, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the sea creatures, and man, you can look squarely at Satan for its origin, and the angelic host are the top of that food chain. Understand that everything else you talk about in the area of Nephilim is something that is a second generation. It has either come about because the angels mixed with women who gave forth great giants, or it has come about because of genetic manipulations. But the fallen angels are, I would say, the purest form of evil that there is, because they are not mixed with anything. These are angels who have left their first estate, as Jude chapter 1 and verse 6 says. And the ones that came and mated with women were captured by the Lord and chained underneath the earth. I will just share a short vision here that I had, I think, today being Sunday, it was at the beginning of this week. I've said that not everything I see from the Lord is something that I'm going to open the blog and write, I saw this. There's simply too many things, and some of those things I will just keep for myself, but some of these things I can share in the videos, and they do not have to be an entire post by themselves. I woke up in the middle of the night. It was perhaps maybe four-ish. I can't peg the time, but it was at that point where the sky is not jet black anymore, but it's definitely still far from morning. It's that medium gunmetal gray color. And for some reason, I woke up out of sleep and I was completely not sleepy. So I was not sleepy. I was not half in and half out of sleep. I woke up like it was morning, like it's time to go. And I sat up in bed. And I looked out of the window. I looked straight out of the window ahead of me. And I looked at the sky, and the sky had nothing in it. And then as I was watching, little dots of light appeared in the sky. So little, you know when you're watching these movies and they're trying to fade out a point of light, and so it's a point of light, and then it begins to get a little blurry and circle-ish. The sky was full of those little blurry, small points of light. And then as I watched, they just began to streak downward as if they were melting. So lots and lots of dots that look just like very big stars. And then all of a sudden, they start streaking downward like raindrops in very bright gold streaks. And as I was watching this, all the streaks came down to earth until about halfway. When they got halfway, I saw something very curious, and I hope that I can explain it. To those who cook, you know that sometimes when you make up your kitchen, they have these fancy kitchen containers. So you can buy a container, and it's written sugar, it's written spaghetti, it's written this and that. And according to whether sugar or rice or spaghetti, it's tall. I saw these very tall see-through glass containers. The top of it was steel. And the bottom of it was steel, and then the rest of the cylinder was glass. Each point of light that was streaking downward like a melting tear suddenly turned into a glass container with a gray titanium platinum-looking top and bottom, and then a glass body, and inside each body was a black or a gray angel. So sometimes when you see the fallen angels, their wings are broken. This is not always how they appear, so please be warned. There are many warnings about fallen angels on the Master's Voice. Please take the initiative and go there and do your own reading, because I've taken the time to write out these warnings from the Lord, but it is each person's responsibility to inform themselves of what the Lord is saying. Fallen angels will not always appear in what is an obvious fallen state, looking all broken up and smashed up. In fact, it might even be because of the level of maturity and discernment of the person that when they appear to me, it is difficult for them to appear in the vision as what they will appear to many people, which is as shining angels of light. fallen angels will greatly mimic the way the unfallen angels look, and this is why they will be extremely successful in confusing God's people and stealing many of them away to false worship of angels and ultimate destruction. These angels will kill people. They will decimate the human population, and they will devour many because many will be deceived by them. But in this cylinder thing, I saw a black or a gray angel with these depressed, broken-like wings. And as I watched, these angels came down to earth. And when they touched the earth, the cylinder went into the earth and the earth sealed up as if there was nothing there. So they came, it was a point of light. The light melted. It turned into a cylinder midway. And in each cylinder, so many cylinders I saw coming down to the earth, was a black or a gray angel, some of them having horns upon their heads and wings that were shifted or broken or droopy and not able to open and be majestic the way we would imagine angels' wings to be. Each cylinder came down to this earth, and when it touched the earth, it was like they were just absorbed into the earth, and the earth sealed up as if there was nothing there. And by seeing that vision in the early morning, I finally got the answer to something that I have asked the Lord about many times. I've shared in certain videos, and I've shared in the writing on the blogs, that I have seen that in the ends of times, ships arose from beneath the earth. So I would always ask the Lord, Lord, how is it that these things are under the earth and have been there so long that we have not had any understanding of them, and we have built over them? Because obviously, if there is a graveyard somewhere, you won't build over the graveyard, even though apparently they did that in Amityville unwisely. But if there's a place where you can see that the earth has been disturbed, or if there's a settlement, usually us as people, we tend to want to preserve that place. We tend to want to make it an archaeological dig or a site. We want to dig. We want to get that civilization out. We want to know. But I would ask the Lord, how is it that I see spaceships coming out in residential areas? I see them coming out underneath the high-rise buildings. Why is this happening? How long ago, Lord, could it have been? How do you get a spaceship under the earth? And by seeing this vision, at least I came to a partial understanding that this falling to the earth took place at times when man was not building anything, at times when man was not probably around or doing anything. And they have been there for centuries upon centuries upon centuries until the day, as the Lord says, they will be released to wreak havoc upon the earth because of the sinfulness of man. And if you think that man is not sinful, and if you think that it is not fair of the Lord to allow these life forms to come and dwell with us, I invite you to go online to any of these channels, like the History Channel, or I think it's the Third Kind or Gaia. Go to any of these channels, these things that keep popping up on my feed, and see what people are saying in the comments section. For me, this is the clarity and the understanding of the things that the Lord says. See what people say beneath these videos. We await the coming of our family from the skies. I wish they would come already. I want to be lifted. I want to ascend. I want to be different. I would welcome them with open arms. I'm tired of earth. People do not want to be the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve. It's a boring reality. It is tiresome to be a human being. It is much better to find out what is coming from the sky, even though you know nothing about its origin. You know nothing about its intent. You have no idea that these are the different manifestations of Satan. But there are millions of people around the world loving these things, awaiting them, calling them. And is this not what the Lord has said in so many of the prophecies concerning the United States of America? Celestial, by the things they love, they will be destroyed. By the things they love, by the things they court, by their Halloweens, by their love for zombies, by their love for murder, by their love for the undead, so shall they be destroyed. I have brought this word consistently, and never have I seen the Lord proven wrong as I look at the outflow of the human heart, which is now so easily available on social media. And so I continue. I was sharing here that perhaps the most dangerous and worrisome form, the most fearsome form of the Nephilim that I want watchers of the Master's Voice to take note of is not actually the huge giants or anything like that. The Nephilim that you should worry about, brothers and sisters, is the ones that look like you and I. Those are the Nephilim that are the most dangerous, because those are the ones that have been most successful in integrating into the human population as it is now. I'm going to finish this post. You can go back to the Master's Voice and read the post. It talks about many things. But the kind of Nephilim that looks exactly like a person, and you cannot tell it is not a person until, for instance, this person decides to express before you or express before others the ability to do things that human beings should not be able to do. Now, understand in the scripture, human beings are able to do many things that naturally we are not supposed to be able to do when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. Samson is one such example. The bright, shining face of Moses is one such example. And the many, many miracles that were done by the prophets of God in those days are examples of that. But when we start talking about people who can tear lions, or people who can renew their skin, and people who can regrow their livers, there is the myth of, I think, one god from the Greek pantheon whose name was Prometheus. He apparently is the one who brought fire to humanity. So Prometheus stole fire from the gods on Olympus, and he gave it to humanity, and they were so angry that he had given humanity this tool. Is anyone noticing the storyline of how technology comes to people? Is anyone noticing the storyline from as far back as the days of the ancient Greeks, that it was men who were not men, gods, who would ascend into the spiritual realm and take things from the rulers in the high places and bring them down to human beings and say, human beings, this is how you do this. This is how you dig this root. This is how you practice sorcery. This is how you do spells. This is how you mix healing potions that can get rid of this kind of fever and this kind of surface disease. Is anyone picking that up? Prometheus stole fire and brought it to man, and the gods decided to punish him by chaining him to a mighty rock. Prometheus was an immortal. He could not die. So his punishment was simply to be eaten over and over again by a huge and angry eagle. Every day the eagle would come to Prometheus, it would rip his body open, and then it would eat his liver and leave him in that bloody, bleeding state. And by evening time, Prometheus had not only grown a new liver, he had grown back all his muscle tissue, he had renewed his skin, and he had to spend the entire night there until the eagle came again to eat his body. So these are creatures that look like human males and human females with the ability to do things that are outside of what God has ordained for man, and also outside of what God's spirit can enable human beings to do. The Hercules type of Nephilim is man-shaped and man-like, but they can carry powers within them. And the most common and obvious power that they can express is strength. But that is not all. They can also possess speed. They can possess extreme youth, and they can possess regenerative capabilities to heal or to not age very quickly. And so I will share something that the Lord began to do with me in 2018, something that actually made me extremely sober-minded whenever I would leave my house, and I still practice it to this day. In 2018, I began to have what I would call, they would have been ordinary dreams except for one facet of them. I would go out to work, and I would basically have my day. I would stop at the bank if I needed to and get food somewhere if I needed to. And just, it was just a normal day doing the normal things. When I'd come back, I would dream that day. This would seem an ordinary dream, except that in the dream, God would show me doing everything that I had done, except that the people around me were not people. So the very people that I had passed, a woman in a pink skirt, a man in a blue shirt, a person getting on the bus in front of me, I would see these exact scenes replayed, except for one huge and major distinction. These people in these different neighborhoods were not people. Sometimes they were expressed as what I can only call robots. So I could see that they were not human beings. I could see that they were synthetic beings. I could see that they had wires in them. And in fact, the Lord would not even have them having faces. They would have the faces of iron. Their faces would be iron. Sometimes their faces even looked like Iron Man from the Iron Man Avengers comics. I would see these people walking about with these slit eyes that glow, and I would think, I stopped there today and I bought a smoothie. I would see myself getting on the bus, and in front of me, a lizard mounting the bus. This happened on one particular occasion where I did stop by a clinic because I had an appointment there, and I remember the line for the bus was very long, and I remember that a lady who got on the bus ahead of me took her time getting on the bus. This very same experience was replayed to me in the dream, except that this woman was not a person. She was a reptile lizard person wearing the same clothes. And this thing began, if I did not know how to call on the Lord and center and balance myself in Christ, this would have made me the kind of person who will not go outside. There are some people, God cannot show you anything because you don't have possession of your soul. You don't have the ability to possess your soul and to possess your vessel in wisdom and decorum. And so if God were ever to open your spiritual eyes and show you this thing, you might start to just scream in the street, I know what you are, I know what you are, and you probably wouldn't make it to the end of the day because these people have no problem in tracking you, finding you, because they possess abilities that far outstrip whatever even a human investigator or whatever the FBI can do. God cannot speak to some of us on a mature level because we would never stop asking him questions. We would lose all interest in the Bible itself. We would lose all interest in prayer. We would lose all interest in anything that is gospel related. And this is all we would want to know. God, what about this person? And what about this type of person? Is this type of person? Is this person a real person? Is my mother real? Is my boyfriend real? That is all that we would do. We would lose focus. And this is why God has allowed much of the church, honestly, to stay asleep until these crucial times where it is now necessary for us to know that we are not living by ourselves in this world. As the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 5, my eyes are streaming with tears and my heart is broken, and that is because the people of my Lord or my people dwell in the midst of deceit. To live in the midst of deceit means that you are living in the middle of a big fat lie. I guess there's nothing wrong with living in a lie if you're part of the lie and you're taking part in maintaining the lie and protecting the lie. And this is why those who know the truth are not bothered. But when you are living in the midst of a lie and everybody else is in on the lie except you, you have to know that you are at a massive and a distinct disadvantage. God started to show me these things, and because he knows that he can trust me, and because he knows that if I feel fear, I know where to take my fear. I definitely won't take my fear to the internet comment section, because who's going to take it away from me? The Lord says, come unto me. Come unto me. So in my life, I have been trained by the Lord, and I know where to take my everything, my consternation, my woes, my pain, my questions. I know where to take it. It is not to other people. Other people have perhaps limited comfort to offer me, but when I need lasting relief, when I need lasting fortitude, when I need my faith to be built up unto a high wall that I can stand behind and say, I trust my God to do this for me. I trust my God to deliver me. I put my trust in the only one who is able to withstand what is coming. It definitely won't be in people. It definitely won't be in asking people anything. It is to take these questions to the Lord and wait upon him. And because he knows that he can trust me, he began to show me this in as far as 2018. Many people think that the only thing that we have to worry about is the rise of the demonic in people. And I've shared this before. The Lord has said that America will become a gangland. A gangland. A gangland is where there is no law and no order and no special victims unit. A gangland is where it is you for you, you and your family. If you're 5'8 and you've got the fight of a pit bull in you, you can defend your wife and your children even against a man who is 6'2", who does not have the same grit and the inner determination as you do. A gangland means there are no rules. A gangland means all bets are off. The Lord says that this nation will come to the place where the police will cry. He said the police will weep. And this is the veterans he was talking about, men who have been on the force 20, 30 years. He said when they get calls to come to the houses, Celestial, and they begin to observe in the latter days of the United States what family member will do against family member. This is not the crazy stranger from the street who breaks into the house. No, this is what husband will do against wife and what wife will do against children when the husband goes on a business meeting and thinking that he's leaving his children in the care of their mother. He said that when the police come and see what has transpired, they will weep. I just recently shared in a prophecy on the Master's Voice. It's called They Will Tear Flesh, where the Lord says that sexual violence around the world, but especially in this nation, will rise to the point that the police will become depressed. He said that the United States police will become perplexed and they will become silent and they will become depressed because they will receive so many sexual filings, so many filings specifically of the sexual assault, battery, and molestation nature that they will be overwhelmed. They will literally not know where the flood of filth and evil is coming from, but I have shared already where it is coming from. It is coming from the increase of spiritual wickedness in the earth, and if you want to know who is responsible for that, it is the surfacing of these. It is the surfacing of the presence of Satan through the fallen angels, Satan himself, and also through the Nephilim and the many creatures that will walk among us and that do walk among us now. So as I end this video, remember what I said in the beginning. The Lord said not only are they among us now, but they will return in their numbers as punishment against a sinful, fallen, wicked, and unrepentant generation. Since the Lord showed me these things in 2018, it has led me to be like King David. For the Bible says of King David that after he killed Goliath and Saul took him and said, come and live in the palace with me, it says that David went out and came in before the people with wisdom. That basically means that God tells you what to do and how to live your daily life. And you go out and you come in with wisdom. So that is the end of the prophecy. January 26, 2020, what I saw today, that there are many different forms of fallen, that they are all deadly. They all come from one source, which is their father, Satan, and that the ones that are in hiding will be coming back to visibility among the population, and that there are already in forms that cannot be detected with the human eye, but the Lord Jesus can detect them. God has even allowed some people to see these creatures in real life. Maybe you've had an experience with them. Maybe somebody in your family has had an experience with them. They're already here and mingled with the population. And basically, all we are waiting for now is the big, fat, grand disclosure when the ones that do super, super, super natural things will make themselves known. And then will begin the biggest lie of all lies in human history. We are your creators, and we have come back to fetch you, to take you to our paradise. Just know that paradise is called the grave, and that is total and eternal separation with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Celestial with the Master's Voice. Thank you for being with me. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you to all who support this channel. Please always look in the description box to find out everything about this ministry, to get the short blurb that explains what the video is about, to get the URL that will take you back to the blog. I have remodeled the blog. The blog is now much easier to use than ever before. The prophecies are listed by theme. So you really have no excuse if you're not taking the time to go and read these prophetic messages for yourself. Until I see you again, may the Lord keep and bless you, and goodbye. Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers, you are very welcome. And so I thought that I would continue and capitalize on yet another message on the Master's Voice, continue teaching in the same vein as the video that I made just a few moments ago. This word is called the promise of his coming. I received this on the 19th of May, 2020. This was during a period when the Lord was speaking a lot about the fallen angels. And the reason that God brought it up is because he wanted me to start to open and reveal these things on the blog for the first time. I've shared that I was a little reluctant to do that, but God is the one who understands best his prophetic times. And so I was sharing in this word, which is a teaching word that contains a lot of background. If you want to fully understand what it means that the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6 came to the earth and chose wives, they took wives of all whom they chose because they saw that the daughters of men were fair. We are talking about two different classes mixing in a way that the Lord has specifically said should never happen on this earth. In Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, God gives it very clear as he goes through the creation process that kind should only mate with kind. He even says of the trees, which we know do not have intelligence as living beings do, as a dog or a person does, he said that each tree would bear fruit after its own kind. And so God made it very clear that there is a separation in the different types of flesh that he does not want them to mix. And even Paul alludes to this when he is talking about the different types of glory that rest upon bodies. He is talking of an earthly glory that rests upon us, the creation of God as man. And then he says that there is a heavenly glory that rests upon what? The celestial bodies. That means the celestial bodies such as the sun, the moon, and the stars, but also the celestial bodies, the other creations of God. I've shared that God has many, many different types of creations. Only a few of them are shown in the Word of God, such as the seraph, such as the cherubim, who are not these fat, naked angels that walk around with a bow and arrow, as we have seen in a lot of Catholic iconography and things like that. There are a lot of things that have been set before the eyes of man, before the eyes of us as humanity, that are simply not true. There is a lot of deception. And if you have been in church, whether you are new to the body of Christ and you've never heard these things before, whether you're coming out of the world and you've actually done extensive research on these things, but you didn't understand how they were rooted back to God, the Savior, God, the Son of God, Jesus, this channel is here to awaken you to hopefully tie in by the Spirit of the Lord all the things that you may have learned before you became born again and how the Bible is the pivotal book as well as some other extra biblical writings that explained what really went on in the ancient world and why God had to judge the world for sin. And so just give me a moment here until I come to what God was talking about to me. He was talking about Matthew 24 and he was talking about Matthew 24 and Mark 13 concerning the signs of his coming. And one sign that the Lord has given us is called watching for the days of Noah. So it goes, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. This is a scripture that many people have heard. This is Matthew 24 and verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, many churches will only mention this verse in passing, and they may tell you, oh, you know, especially as Jesus expanded in the verse, he said, as people were eating and drinking, having weddings, giving in marriage and receiving in marriage and having weddings and children, shopping and doing everything else, that's how it will be. But I'm here to let you know that there is a huge backstory about the days of Noah. So we have Noah, the righteous man, who, as the Bible says, is untainted. He is pure. He is whole in his generations. And we're not talking about the fact that Noah still has all his living relatives or Noah is living a righteous life. This is actually speaking to genetic purity. So by the time we get to the Lord making this distinction about Noah and saying that Noah is pure in his generations, he's actually saying that the lineage of Noah has not become contaminated with any of this hybrid seed. The hybrid seed of the fallen angels living with women and the women continuing to mate and remate with other beings, remate basically some of them even with the children that they are giving birth to. If you've ever seen in modern human history what is called the Oedipus complex, which is fascination of men sleeping with their mothers, and you see this happening a lot in ancient cultures where a man will stay in bed, enter into sexual relations with his own mother or with close female kin. This is why you see specifically in the book of Leviticus, God is saying that he hates this kind of intersexual relation between close relationships, and he puts it in the law that these people are not to do this. So whether they practiced it before, when God codified the law and gave it to Israel, it became a sin, and God did not want them to do this. You also see in God's law, I think in Leviticus as well, that God is very fixated on not mixing. So a lot of people use this to mock the word of God, and it's because they lack the deeper understanding of what God is saying. God is saying, I don't want you to mix your flax with your cotton, and I don't want you to mix cotton with silk in a garment. I don't want you to use blended fibers in a garden, in a garment, and I don't want you to cook this and this together. And it seems on the surface of it to be such nitpicking until you understand that these laws are in part God's reactionary response to what goes on before the flood, when man is now being blended with other creatures, animal creatures by these fallen angels, animal creatures by the giants and the other forms of Nephilim, when man is also sinning, I guess you would put it, at a lower level and laying with the animals himself. It says that in Genesis chapter 6 that God was grieved. So God was hurt. God was heartbroken that he had made man upon the earth. And it says that it grieved God at his heart that he had made man, because as he now looked at his creation, he saw that the only desire in the heart of man was to do evil continually. In those days, the Bible says that the only desire of men's hearts was to do evil continually. And so this is pointing to a very rare height of sin. It means that the average person had become so dull in all spiritual matters, so selfish, lustful, lazy, scheming, wicked, and in fact downright murderous, that now crime and sin was all that was in people's hearts and all that was in people's minds. So understand, the increase of wickedness in the earth is not just the solo practice of one person perceiving a temptation or a lust that they want to indulge in, and then going to privately indulge that lust. This is why I speak so much about sin on this channel, because people don't really have a mature understanding of what sin is. And that's why our generation is trapped and caught in so much sin. Even in the church is so caught up in sin, except that because the people of God know what sin is, they're now caught up in the duality of sinning and then lying about it. Like the adulterous woman that's spoken of in Proverbs, how she will go and prostitute herself, or go and lay in another person's bed, or go as a married woman and then conduct adultery. And then it says she wipes her mouth, which is a picture of a person who eats a meal and then wipes their mouth and cleans their face and takes away the scent of the food and then sits and says, I have eaten no food. What have I done? And so the church is caught in this dual net of sinning. They are in the reality of sin. They are experiencing sin. And yet they are lying to cover it up because of the pressure of appearing righteous. Understand that you cannot appear righteous when you are not righteous. People with discernment can see when there is sin in your life. For me, God always gives me pings. People come to me and they start making it like it's other people's fault, or they start to act like there's nothing wrong. And the Lord is just saying, this person is lying. This person is in sin. This person is actually, sometimes the Lord says to me, Celestial, this person is actually looking for you to rubber stamp the wickedness that they do so that they will not feel bad. And people don't understand that if you don't feel bad about sin, you will never repent. I don't want this video to go off in another direction. If you don't feel convicted about your sin, you will never repent. And until the day the Lord seizes you to judge you, your sins will be upon you. We don't want to feel bad in this generation. Everything about modern life is geared towards increasing the feel-good factor. You need to feel fantastic all the time. That is why social media is such a prison. Social media demands that you feel good. It demands that your coffee better look brilliant with a little heart, and you better take that picture and pose it so that you can get extra points for being alive. Social media almost grips you by the neck and tells you if you don't look thin and if you don't look cute, so help me, you will be canceled. And so people are controlled by these unseen prompts that tell them, be happy and do more and don't feel guilty about anything because everyone else is doing it. But I already shared that sin is like this very heavy coat with 1,000-pound lead weights in all the pockets. And if your only claim to fame is saying, well, everyone else is wearing a coat, guess what? God has enough space to judge the whole community of sinners. Trust me, he's not lacking space in hell, because the Bible says that hell from beneath, right now as I'm speaking to you, the Bible says hell from beneath enlarges her mouth, and she will swallow up all the sinners, and she will have room to spare for when God puts the fallen angels, the Nephilim, and Satan himself in there, and then tips the entire thing like a full bowl into the lake of fire. So if the only thing that we are using to cover up our nakedness in sin is saying, well, everyone else is doing it, it's a poor excuse. So there's sin in the world and there's sin in the church, and yet the Lord is saying that this generation will exceed the wickedness of Noah's day. So in Noah's day, they were sinning so much, please hear me, they were sinning so much that God decided that they did not need to live anymore as a collective. God ended the world functionally, keeping only 8 people alive on a boat. And it doesn't even say anywhere in the text that they were preserved, the 8 of them, because they were each individually righteous. No, what it does say is that because of Noah's righteousness, because of righteous Noah, God saved Noah's family. 8 people out of the known world. This is after Genesis chapter 5, where it says that the earth was filled with people and they were trying to build the Tower of Babel. And then the Lord looked down upon them and saw that their hearts were united in this wickedness. And he scattered them across the earth. And they all moved out. Yet God decided to flood the entire earth. Why was he flooding the earth? Because the earth was full of the abominations of man, and the earth was full of the expressions of Satan's heart. I'm going to get into this. I'm going to get into it. Do you know what it is to live on an earth where Satan's heart fully expresses itself? I'm here to let somebody know that we are actually going to see that. You see, because the worst that we see now, and these are painful things to see, we see the ritual abuse, and we see the satanic abuse, and we see the murder, and we see the abortion, and we see the perversion of sexuality. The Lord was just sharing with me and saying, Celestial, do you know what it is to live in a world where the most important thing about humanity is what they keep in their underwear? I was shocked. I was shocked, but this is how blunt God is. God is not this namby-pamby, prancy person that people believe in. Oh, Father wouldn't say this, and Father wouldn't say this. The fact is that you do not even know Father. You do not even know his voice or what he would say. To the people God counts as friends, he is as blunt as a steak knife, just in there, and he will just say a thing. He said, do you know how fallen it is to live in a world where the most important thing, the thing that is constantly on the mind of the people that are on the earth in this hour, is what is in our clothing? What is inside the place where we are supposed to be practicing modesty? The whole earth is drunk following after human sexuality. What is sexuality? What is okay between a man and a woman? What should we do? What should we not do? What is a man? What is a woman? What is a baby? Is it just a collection of cells? Can it think? Does it have the right to life? Who decides? Me, Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court, Jesus? Who has the right to say what is a clump of cells? What is life? What goes on in private between man and man? Is it just man and man? And it brings me back to what I was saying earlier, is that if we think that sin is this personal, private thing where I can just creep off and go and do it, and it's not hurting anybody. And that's why the modern church is so paralyzed with this fallacy of don't judge. You don't know his struggle, and don't judge. You don't know his story. The Bible actually tells us that we should judge with all righteous judgment. Why? Because we will judge even these fallen angels that I'm currently teaching about. The Bible says that by their fruit, you will know them. And so this means that I don't need to know your story, because the evidence of your life actually tells your story before I speak. And this is why so many times the Lord will say to me, this person is lying. It is not because I, Celestial, just want to jump up and say, hey, liar. It is because the Spirit of the Lord is saying, as I'm reading, this person is actually lying. This person actually loves their sin, and this person is seeking confirmation bias that the sin is okay, or that there will be some kind of special softer punishment for them if they continue in sin. I'm here to let you know that if you are in sin, you will have absolutely no defense when you stand before the Father. For the Bible says that we know when we sin, and this is why God is blameless when he judges us. Think of a judgment situation where the judge has heard the evidence and he's passing sentence on you, 10 years, 15 years, or life in prison. Human judges make errors, but Psalm 51 says that righteous are you, O God, when you judge. You are blameless when you lay out the punishment. Why would the Bible be able to say this with such authority? Because it means that the Spirit of the Lord already knows the heart. He knows the heart. And therefore, if we will not accept responsibility for sin and confess it so that we can be free of it, it will be impossible for God to show us mercy. And this is why Mystery Babylon of Revelation 16, where it says she's the throne of the beast, Revelation 17, where it shows the harlot riding on the back of the beast, and Revelation 18, where she meets her inglorious end. This is why no mercy is shown to Mystery Babylon, because Mystery Babylon insists until the moment of her destruction, I have eaten nothing. I am guiltless. What have I done? What is so great about my sin that the other nations are not as guilty as I am? This is why God says he will not change the judgments that are coming to America, because America has no remorse. And yet in the Christian community, there is this powerful belief that revival is coming. I ask you, in the wisdom of Christ Jesus, where have you ever seen revival break out in the midst of increasing wickedness and sin? Where have you ever seen revival break out in a country that is currently fighting over whether you can get the abortion pills by mail or not, or whether you can marry the man as a man or the woman as a woman or not? Where have you ever seen revival break out in the midst of unrepentant filth and the increase of wickedness? I ask you now, go ahead and thumbs down the video. If your thumb has the power to spoil and stop prophecy, I watch in expectation to see your glorious power overturn the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that the church is not being taught that revival comes on the back of brokenness for sin, of the maturity to acknowledge that I am a sinner, I am caught in an addiction 10 years, 15, 20 years. This habit controls me. Half my day is spent hiding it from my parents. The other half I spend hiding it from my friends or my wife or my husband. How can revival come to a nation that clings to its sin, that loves its sin, that codifies its sin into law? What revival is coming to a country that says, let me roll a third and a fifth and a seventh generation in the mud and then teach it to my children? Revival comes on the back of acknowledgement of sin, of saying, wretched man that I am, God, have mercy on me and release grace upon me to break these chains so that I can be free, so that I can be what you have made me to be and called me to be. What revival is coming as the sin increases, as the Lord prophesies here, that the fascination with sexuality will spill over? He called it a stench rising in the earth. And what will it draw? The Lord said that the scent of humanity abusing their sexuality, the porn, the cross-dressing, the homosexuality, the abortions, the sexual murders, the satanic sacrifices of the innocents, fornication, adultery, all of it. He said the stench of humanity abusing their sexuality will draw down the fallen angels to come and blend and mix and mate with man. And in the end, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon this earth. Hybrids walking around as bold as you please. Watch, I'm speaking to America. They will have rights. I don't know if it's going to be called aliens' rights, our kinsmen and brothers' rights. They will have rights. They will live in the midst of the population. And if you don't like it, you will just have to go and live in the far-off communes that I've seen. You will just have to go and live in those communes if you want to live with maybe human-only communities. Otherwise, they will be blended everywhere, pretending to be good until they rise up to tear flesh, as the Lord has said. So let me carry on. This message is called The Promise of His Coming, and I received this vision on April the 13th, 2020 at 5:34 p.m. It was an open-eye vision. I don't remember what I was doing, but I suddenly found myself staring at the night sky, and this is a vision that repeated all through 2020 in different forms. I saw the night sky above me, and it started to turn very fast, exactly as the turntable of a DJ. So you look at the sky, and you see the pinpoints of light, the stars as they appear, and then all of a sudden the sky began to do a lazy spin faster and faster until the points of light began to form a streak. It looked just like these images that they show you in disco videos or when a person has taken drugs and the movie is trying to show you this is how they perceive light that's all squiggly like that. The sky was turning around and the stars began to turn in their courses until they formed thin streaks of light, and it looked like the sky was being mixed by a DJ into yellow, red, and white circular streaks. And then all of a sudden, the sky tilted and it poured out the lights in an arc. So just as I shared in the previous video where I saw the lights streaking down from the heavens and creating these streaks behind them as the stars fell, I saw that the sky poured out the stars, and instead of something pouring out like water, it was a cascade of stars, and the stars fell to earth. And when they fell to earth, each star turned into a glowing staff. A staff is something like Gandalf carries in The Lord of the Rings. It's something like a shepherd's crook. And each star became a glowing staff. It became like a bolt of lightning, a glowing bolt of lightning or a javelin thrust into the ground. And they turned into spears, spears of lightning. And each one had a leather belt on the middle. So I've seen this very often that the stars will fall out of the sky. And when they hit the earth, they take a solid form. So as they're falling, they look like light. But when they hit the earth, they turn to javelins. They turn to, you know, the thing that you throw at the Olympic, but very big and glowing, like phosphorescent glowing, and they each have a belt. So in the old days, it's not the belt that you know with the buckle and everything. The belt used to be made of leather, and you simply tie it, and sometimes it would have a large area that you could wear here or wear on the side. And to show it was your belt, the craftsman would craft your initials into the leather. And so I see these javelins fall, and wrapped around the waist, the middle of each spear of glowing light, there is a leather belt. Sometimes it appears as a leather handle, like the javelin has a leather grip in the middle. Sometimes it's a leather belt. And on each belt, there is an insignia. So sometimes on the belt, I see initials, but most of the time, I see these runic symbols that I do not understand. And the Lord impresses upon my heart, these are names, Celestial. These are names. And therefore, I came to understand that when each star falls and takes a solid form on the earth, and it's wearing a belt, it is letting me know that that star is representative of someone. The stars are personages They are beings. They are powers. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in the high places, against the rulers, against principalities, and against who? Against powers. Power is actually a type of angel. The virtues are actually a type of angels. The powers are also a type of angel. And so each person's insignia shows a mark of ownership. And whenever I would look at this vision, for I had it multiple times, I had the impression in my heart that the owners of those spears would soon show up to pull them out of the ground and use them. After I had this vision on April 13, 2020, the Lord spoke to me and he said, in the last days, mighty warrior angels will come down from the sky, heretics. A heretic is someone who denies the truth of an established belief. So a heretic is someone who departs from the truth and begins to deny it. And that is Satan himself. He said, heretics, sinners, evil and demonic beings, loyal to Lucifer, the light bringer. That is why they are shaped like lightning. So there can be no doubt who they serve and who they belong to. Remember the scripture says, for I beheld Satan. The Lord Jesus said, for I beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. He said, the sky will pour out occupants of all sorts and shapes, but chief among them will be light bringers, the shining ones, false bearers of light who come bringing another truth. Their light is nothing but darkness and deception that will lead to the destruction of men. And here are some scriptures for your consideration. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Matthew 24 and 29. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken loose. Mark 13 and 25. And so this powers, as I said, is not talking about electricity or electric currents. It's talking about physical beings. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in the high places. And so understand, for this is the direct revelation and instruction of the Lord to his people and to anyone. You do not have to be a Christian to hear and understand what I'm saying. Demonic beings are going to come to this earth in another skin, pretending to be our brothers. They will pretend to be helpers. And the way that they will personify themselves as the wise ones, that is how they are going to come. They're going to come bringing a lot of wisdom. And because of the greed and curiosity in the human heart, many are going to flock to them as they reveal enhancements to our human lives. They're going to bring many helpful things, and they're going to bring many unhelpful things. The presence of these creatures is going to greatly excite sexuality in human beings. So the only way that I can put it to make sense is just think of a beautiful woman entering a room and she's wearing a captivating perfume. It's not enough that she's so good looking that when she enters the room, everyone is captivated by her appearance. But no, she's also wearing this deadly perfume that whoever takes it into the nostrils becomes intoxicated by it and then begins to desire more and more of this woman, both visually to see her, to interact with her, to be close to her, but also to inhale this deadly fragrance, which is actually a stench to the person's soul, to the person's salvation, a threat to the person's own existence. Yet they don't know it. All they see is beauty, and all they smell is this wonderful fragrance, but they don't know that this is the sight and the smell of death. This is what the presence of these beings in the earth will be like. If you see how the earth seems to be losing its mind now, and people are just saying, oh, it's so dangerous out there, and I don't know what's happening, I can tell you that as these demonic creatures are making their entrance, as they are preparing for their great global debut, people will literally lose their senses in following them and imitating them, in lying down and couching with them. People will give over their bodies to these beings. And officialized hybrid birth Right now, it's been taking place unofficially behind the scenes, and these people are walking around looking like man, not man. But official hybrid birth, where they get a birth certificate and everything else, is going to be a part of the future society. They will claim that they are the wise ones of creation, and they want to help us out of our primitive ways. They will claim that they want to help us rise out of the level of where we are now, which is war and viciousness and selfishness, and teach us how to live in love or whatever it is that they're going to say. But I am telling you now to stay away from them because they eat flesh and blood. They consume flesh. They eat humanity. If anyone is a non-believer, you have all the witnesses. So the Bible says, let every word be established by two or three witnesses. Not only do I have multiple witnesses on the Master's Voice that you can go and read, but there are many people who will see these videos and know that you have had experiences in your life that were either preparing you to be one of those who will fall for this deception and welcome it. People have been having dreams. People have been seeing ships. People have been having dreams of beings talking to them and saying, you are special. You are a star child. You are a star seed. You are this and that. Beware of the enemy, for even Satan appeareth as an angel of light. He will appear to many people. And I know no matter what I say, the feet of people will go running into perdition because God has said that this generation is more wicked than Noah's generation. Noah was quietly building his boat and loudly proclaiming that a flood was coming and that mankind, who was extremely voracious for the same wicked sexual activity in those days, extremely fallen, giving themselves over to the marrying of wives and giants and things like that. Noah was warning them to forsake sin, confess sin, and return to the safety of God and to find a place in that ark. But the Bible says that when the rain began to fall, or just before it fell, God told Noah, go ye into the boat. And then the Bible says that God shut Noah in himself by his own hand. I'm here to let you know that the time to break away from evil practices and opening up your heart to every doctrine that comes by is very, very limited. God will not bear with the sinfulness of man forever. The first time that God bore with man's sinfulness, it reached a point where his heart was broken and he could not take it. And he wiped the earth clean for sin and started over. And one of the first rules he put in place is that these people are not going to live 900 years, 700 years, 443 years and stress me out in their fallen and their sinful state. A man's years will be cut down to 120. That's how it was in the ancient times. A few generations later, you see David saying, a man's years are 70, 80 if he is strong. That's 40 years cut off the life expectancy between the time of Noah and the time of David. God says he will no longer bear with the consistent sinfulness of man. So if you are someone who walks in sin and you think that God will keep tolerating, I'm letting you know that one day the ark will slam shut and all you will have is what the people in Noah's day had. Sometimes I think about it and it really brings the fear of God to my heart. And the fear of God is healthy. The fear of God keeps Celestial sane and walking in the path that God has ordained for her. What must it have been to see that rain coming and to watch it fall for the first 3 to 5 days? And it was no small rain, for the Bible says that God opened up the windows of heaven and he also broke up the fountains of the deep. That means that there are windows under the sea. God pulled them open for that particular judgment, and the sea rose greatly and flooded inward. Noah wasn't building by the beach. Noah was building in the town he lived in. Yet the sea rose to the point, and the rain came down to a point where that huge ark was lifted up upon the waters. What must it have been like to be in Noah's neighborhood? Maybe not one of the far away cities who would come and journey and look at the boat and think, what a marvel, what a crazy old man. But what must it have been to realize that the time for repentance is over, that the time for grace is done? The ark is shut, and now there remains only the judgment. And the Bible says that they went there. Noah, open up. Noah, we believe you now. Noah, we know you can hear us. Open up. Our children are out here with us. Our children are drowning, Noah, because of our unbelief, because of our hard-heartedness in the face of God's never-ending, never-tiring grace. We are drowning, Noah. Open the boat. Sometimes it doesn't matter how soft-hearted a messenger is. When God shut the door, God shut the door. And that will be all there is. There will be nothing the messenger can do for you. There will be nothing you can say in the comment section. When God judges Mystery Babylon, the United States of America, there will be absolutely nothing that can be said by yourselves or by myself. It will simply be the hand of the Lord completing what he said in Revelation 16, 17, and 18. Because she would not repent. Because she kept thinking that her portion was revival in the midst of her increasing wickedness and sinfulness. In the midst of losing her mind in front of all the other nations, she literally thought that I would reward her with revival when she would not fall to her knees and repent. I will stop the message here. The title of this prophecy is The Promise of His Coming, May 19, 2020. I'm Celestial, and this is the Master's Voice. Everything about this ministry and about this platform that the Lord is raising up to bring forth his word in these end days can be found in the description box below. Until I see you again, may the Lord God bless you and keep you, and goodbye.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, December 7th of 2021, and I wanted to come again to you and bring you some words from the Lord. And I've been hearing this. I heard part of it last week. I heard more yesterday, and I think it's very paramount. I have had a very hard time coming on here because I really am sensing the Lord is bringing for myself an end to being on YouTube, however, and any social media. However, I'm going to continue to be obedient until I know for sure that this is, I am to give it up, that these will be my last warnings. I know, or I'm sure there have been others that are already off or have quit giving, but again, I go by the Holy Spirit for myself. Everybody has spirit to go to and listen to the Holy Spirit when he talks to you. He's not talking to everyone else. He's talking to you. This is why we have an intimate relationship with him. So anyway, let me give you the words first that the Lord has given me. And I will give scripture in the description box if you want to read them and study them. I highly encourage you to read the scriptures. I highly encourage you to get the mindset of Christ in you. And I highly encourage you to get and keep the relationship you have with him, because that is going to be the most paramount, is your relationship with him when everything else is gone, shaken, wiped away. That is going to be the most important weapon, if you will, is your relationship with Christ. No one else, no one else's relationship, nothing. Because nothing can compare. And I'm here to encourage you today, even with what I have to say and what I have to share, to please make sure that you are right with God. You are right with him. All right. The first word I heard, you know, it took me a while to really release it. I've spoken this to just a couple people shared it with. And I was waiting to see if the Lord wanted to give me anything. I'm sure there's a lot out there. And I'm more interested in my relationship than I am with all the stuff going on, because it's ongoing and a lot of things are happening. And I want to bring only on here, not the everyday, this one said this, here's this over here. That's all well and fine, but I want to bring you important things from the Lord. Let me just say this. We are seeing many things, and not everything is from the enemy. Many of these things that are happening, God is allowing it. It's his judgment. His judgment. And the other thing that I want to say here is, again, making sure that you take everything before the Lord, making sure you take everything to the Spirit in prayer, that everything is put before the Lord, and that we are to go to the Lord. It doesn't matter what people say about us or think they know about us or however they look at us. We are not here to get praises from man, be comfortable in our circumstances. We are here as God's people, as a remnant of believers, sitting on the edge, being ready, being purposed for whatever God has called us to do. And so without further ado, I am going to give you the first word. Massive. This is emphasized in all of the words that I use. Massive shutdown coming. Now, this is the particular word that I heard all last week and the week before. And several years ago, I did hear about the shutdown. And when I heard about it, at the time, it was called a lockdown. And to me, it still is. But the Lord said, massive shutdown coming. He makes things very clear to me, and he makes them very simple. There is no complex, complex things to understand. But when he gives us something, it is our responsibility to search it out. Search it out for ourselves. It is also our responsibility to give it out to the body of Christ if the Lord thy God has told us to, not because we feel we must, not because somebody else is giving something. And what it entails, and then I did get, it was very interesting, I got a confirmation. The Lord was putting all this together from another sister. And I'm not going to go into that. But anyway, what that lockdown, it might be easier, shutdown,